This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
You say go boil the ocean, you say go steam the sea, you say go boil the ocean, go steam the seven seas. I gotta rock that hot spot between your navel and your knees. You say let's have a nightcap, served with an ice cap if you please. You say let's have a nightcap, served with an ice cap if you please. Arctic or Antarctic, before you get to sleep with me. You grip with your incisors, guess you like to hear me plead. You rip with your incisors, and you beg me not to bleed. The grip is getting tighter, I hope you're getting what you need. To the trees. Say you replant the forest, you took a matchstick to the trees. What's left is trash of smoke and ash that moves on with a passing breeze. You say you want a big steak, buy some beefcake you can squeeze. You say you want some beefcake, someone who will get down on his knees. A supple, joyous boy toy, whose only pleasure is to please. You slice with your incisors, guess you like to hear me plead. Not nice with your incisors, and you beg me not to bleed. Your grip is getting tighter, I hope you're getting what you need. You say go boil the ocean, you say go steam the sea. Between your navel and your knees.
like it when you hold me close and then we stay that way through the night. The rain falls down on us, spinning chills up and down my spine, but we don't seem to mind. So kiss me, baby, just one more time. I just can't get enough. You're like a dream of mine. And touch me, baby, just one more time. So soft and gentle like one more. I can feel your breath on me and your skin right next to mine. Please don't ever let this go. Can you turn off all the lights? Come lay down right by my side and baby, just close.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the October 3rd edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Arison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
And I'm Wes Laverne, your friendly neighborhood intern.
Ta-da!
We're all here. All accounted for.
All here. All queer.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So what's up this week?
Yeah, what is up this week?
I don't know.
I got something that would cheer you up. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
I've had a cold all week. I feel lousy. I'm headachy and feverish. And nobody cares. And you've got a popcorn dildo. It is a caramel popcorn dildo. What the hell is that thing?
Where did you get that?
Walgreens?
Oh, my word.
Well, it must be the Walgreens here in the Montrose.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I walked up to the clerk and said, can I get a price check on this?
That is the rudest thing I've seen all day. And I've seen a lot of rude things.
So I was walking around the store and a cell came past. I'm walking around the store shaking it.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's delicious warm, too.
Oh, I'll bet it is. That's what it says on the pack. Delicious.
I've never seen Cracker Jack that needs batteries, though.
Mm.
A caramel cob.
That's so rude.
I didn't even see that while I was over there.
Oh.
Jesus.
It's not fresh, is it?
I think you might want to throw it in the microwave for about 10 seconds.
I might have to.
It says soft and chewy.
Smack and snack, the fun way to open.
Ooh.
Push top of cob through wrapper by smacking bottom of cob upwards.
Oh, my God.
I hate when somebody smacks the bottom of my cob.
I know some people that like it.
Oh. Look at that. Isn't that rude?
I bet the tip-offs was a little worse. You know, the twisted part is it's supposed to feed two. And
well, it certainly has the girth for two.
You start each on each side, or?
It's a double-headed dildo.
And you meet in the middle.
Bottom.
Oh.
You meet in the middle? That's just tacky.
Well, that's a wonderful start for the show, isn't it? Yay.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Well, they don't sell bananas at Walgreens.
Uh-huh.
Well, you should have gone across to Kroger's.
There's lots of bananas in the Montrose Kroger's, I'll tell you.
Go figure, huh? So how was your week, Chris? He's still playing with his corn.
The highlight of it was finding this popcorn dildo.
Wow. That bad, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's just...
Yeah.
Doctor put me on some new medication.
For what?
Well, it's supposed to help me sleep.
Yeah.
And it put me out the first night.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't get that refreshing sleep you should get.
You didn't wake up feeling just refreshed and excited and ready to meet your day.
Did he give you
I was starring in a tampon commercial.
Yeah,
I was going to ask, did he give you a bottle of Massengill for after you wake up?
No, I was like a zombie. So I lasted about an hour at work before I decided I'm going home because I can't concentrate on anything.
Oh, wow.
That bad. Take it earlier.
Oh, no, it wasn't that.
What?
I took it early enough.
Oh.
She warned me that if I take this medicine, it'll put me in a really good sleep.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've got sleep apnea.
Yeah.
Which means I stop breathing when I sleep.
Oh, that's not so good.
Yeah. So I was actually tired enough, I pulled out my CPAP machine.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you who don't know, take a scuba mask, attach a garden hose over the back of your head, and have it blow a constant stream of air up your nose.
And then try to sleep.
Yeah. And that wasn't happening either. So, it's kind of like, I'll take the pill this day, I'll take the pill that day, I don't know.
Sounds like a bother to me.
Yeah.
Oh, but the mask looks great. It's hot.
I'll bet
your cam dates get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
Actually, he did. I showed it to a person I was talking on camp saying, yeah, I've got to sleep with this machine. He's like, you have to sleep with a machine?
Ooh.
And he turned around and asked his mother, what do you mean by sleep by a machine? And she was curious, too. So I explained what a CPAP was, and then I put the mask on and turned on the cam, and he's like, oh, my God. So it's a fun... I'll bring my Halloween costume.
Oh.
None with a CPAP.
Love it.
Oh, boy.
I'll go in the other room and stroke my cob.
Okay.
You do that. It looks like you got a full room in there, too.
Yes. Well, our After Hours Quickie is here, called 45s.
All right.
But we need to talk about some of the stuff that's happening in our community this week.
All right.
And
who's up first?
I am.
Okay.
Sorry, I do have a cold.
Yeah, you've mentioned that a couple times already.
I brought this in last week and purposely had Chris read it because I knew there would be guffaws. It's about the Mankind Project.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
There's a set right there, Chris.
You didn't give it to me this time?
No. Improve your life, improve your world. Now is the time. Take a look at the world, take a look at your life, and make a clear choice to improve them both. The Mankind Project is a nonprofit organization that conducts personal development trainings for men around the world. Our trainings challenge men to develop their abilities as leaders, fathers, partners, husbands, sons, and elders in order to offer their deepest gifts in service to the world. The new Warrior Training Adventure is an intense, transformative men's training. Go to www.mkphouston.org because the next dates are October 2 to 4, November 6 to 8, and December 4 to 6. All men are welcome to attend MKP Houston's monthly open circles and social gatherings. Contact us for dates. So check that out. This is open to gay, straight, and bisexual men. If you remember David Great Bear from the Bi Agenda, the BiNet segment, we haven't seen him lately because his work schedule changed. But he's a member, and I know several other gay men who are members. In fact, in the next few months, we're going to get together and get some of the guys from the Mankind Project to come on and talk about it. So, because there's going to be gay and bisexual seminar coming up in April through this group, and we want to be able to promote that. Now, things going on today.
Uh-oh.
Today
of all days.
Yes. Sunday, yes. First of all, at noon is a memorial service for B.A. Gill at the Rothko Chapel. That's being put on by the Gill family. And it is, since Don Gill is heading that up. You know that will start at exactly 12 noon. So be there. Roscoe Chapel is right behind the Demonil, which is on Mandel and close to where I live on West Main, between Richmond and Alabama. Then, later on, Arisa's presents Boys Do Barbecue, hosted by Emperor 25 J.P. Gill, with the male line of Arisa's. And, wow, that's Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at George's Bar, $4 a plate. They will also be selling Jello shots. And then later that evening, this evening, Eric Boo Boo Stutes invites you to Boo Boo's 4th annual birthday bash on Sunday, October 4th at 8 p.m. Eric says, come help me celebrate with a great show, great drink specials, lots of friends and surprises, all while helping raise money for PWA holiday charities. Brazos River Bottom, 2400 Brazos Street. Okay, next. I think Chris is next.
Well, if he doesn't even have his headphones on. Oh, hold on. Oh, there he goes.
Talking to the cob.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Somebody turned all the mics down. All right, go ahead.
How's your cob hanging?
To the left, to the left.
Mm. Manufactured a facility that processes nuts.
Say that again.
Hold on. Here's the most twisted thing about this caramel corn dildo.
Mm-hmm. Chewy cob.
It's made in Utah.
No.
Probably by the Osmonds.
Oh.
Well, you know, Donnie and Marie's career ended. They got to come up with something.
That's right.
She got tired of making dolls. She made that popcorn just for you.
She's shilling Jenny Craig.
Yeah, Jenny Craig, yeah. One of those.
Something like that.
I would pay attention to those fads.
Like any fad involving corn, those two shall pass.
The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc., Houston, Galveston, United States, North America, Western Hemisphere, Planet Earth, Galactic Milky Way,
and cut and shoot.
Yeah.
Presents the Postal Auction Show.
And the Reese's Goes Postal.
Hosted by the Reese's Board of Directors on Friday, October 9th at 8 p.m.
Careful, they don't come with guns, they come with high-heeled shoes.
There you go.
Stilettos, thank you.
At George Bar. Come out and place your bids on packages sent from all over the U.S.
Ooh.
Open to all performers.
I've bid on packages before.
And the crowd goes, duh.
And actually,
he beat me to the line.
Not that I know for sure, but I heard some of the packages are international, Jimmy.
Ooh.
So how many international packages have you...
That means I'm cut.
Maybe.
We like That's to not think, necessarily always true.
Well, no.
Thank Stanley
for those bids. I've been overseas.
I see.
I have too.
A benefit for Legacy Community Health Services enhanced through Coronation XXVI mm-hmm. with 10% going to Chaos. Come out to Crocker Bar on Friday, October 9th at 9 p.m. for a country show to celebrate National Coming Out Day. All entertainers are welcomed and needed.
Careful, Stephen.
Can't put that into the country.
You can't take... Well, you can put the country into
no!
the board.
That's hosted by Mr. Gay Pride Houston 2009 over at Crocker Bar on the 9th at 9 p.m.
Hmm.
The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star presents its 10th anniversary show. Hosted by Emperor and Empress XVI, Larry Spriggs and Selena St. John on Saturday, October 10th.
Did you say Selena St. John?
Selena.
Oh!
Anything for
What's
Salinas.
The difference?
Salinas.
What's the difference?
Ouch.
Saturday, October 10th, 8 p.m. at EJ's Bar. Show is open to all performers, benefiting the usual suspects.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
October 11th, from 2:30 to 4:30, is the Houston's National Equality March celebration.
Yes,
over
it is.
At Resurrection MCC. Equal protection for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in all matters governed by civil law in all 50 states now.
Mm.
Unhinged Productions joins the Houston GLBT Community Center to stand with our community to support this important march for justice. Unhinged Production will present Listen America, the words of Margaret Cho, Troy Perry, and Harvey Milk.
What a trio.
One of these things is not like the other two. One of these things is wrong.
What's that? I failed Sesame Street.
Also scheduled to speak or perform are Houston activist Ray Hill, poet Lisa Jackson, composer Augustin Paz, and the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston. Our MCC is located at 2025 TC Jester at 11th Street.
There's gay men in Houston?
I know, amazing, isn't it?
And they like to
I'm
say
I'm shocked.
October 11th, a decadent dessert and more at South Beach, 810 Pacific Street from 4 to 8. The MC is the exciting and entertaining goddess of drag, Cheyenne.
That's what it says.
I'm going to turn their mics off here in a second.
Dancing and delicious desserts and appetizers, auction and raffle items. Scroll down all the way down to check out the incredible items you can take home with you.
Ooh.
That's right. Part of the raffle items you can get. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for this?
It's brand new.
Yes.
Shiny.
Ooh.
Black. Shimano components.
What?
And there's two.
Two?
I like the way you say Shimano.
Sizes 4 foot six.
I beg your pardon.
And 4 foot ten. Great for both guys and gals.
I saw that porn movie.
Batteries not included.
Midget trade.
These are more there's more raffle tickets you can purchase. The chances you'll be riding these babies home.
Boy, howdy.
Batteries not included.
I'm going to guess that's probably at least 20 inches.
Ooh.
That's a bicycle. You can get 37 inches later on at another auction item. It's flat.
Yeah.
See a lot of pictures?
Yeah, yeah. 37 inches is going to be flat. You got to roll it up to take it home.
You take the seat off the bicycle,
and you get the corn
corn cob.
Replace.
Don't talk about Jimmy like he's not here.
We do anyway.
Can I give you a pom pom? Sure. Sit on the handlebars.
Ooh.
You know, the part of me wants to buy these. Just if I was staying at home for Halloween,
yeah,
I would just. The downstairs neighbor, I would love.
Eat your caramel corn cob, Chris. Eat your caramel corn cob.
So if you handed out those and the popcorn balls.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Wow.
It had in common. Oh, sorry.
Oh, wow. That's the Sisters Decadent Dessert on Sunday.
Sunday.
October 11th, National Coming Out Date, South Beach, 810 Pacific Street, 4 to 8. Tickets are $25 in advance. For more information, check out assisters.org.
Mm-hmm.
Clothes are for closets. Really fabulous clothes. Come out in yours. For a National Coming Out Day party and show benefit on October 11th at 7 p.m. at the Brazos River Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It is it's by the Daddy Boy Project, benefiting AIDS Foundation, Houston Stone Soup, Thanksgiving Kroger gift cards, and the through the PWA Holiday Charities.
Hey.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Your printers. It kind of stopped once it got done with the half-naked guy, and when you saw the zipper was still up, it just kind of stopped working that well.
Hate when that happens.
Once again, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc. Presents Feathers to Fur, Hookers to High Class, Cabaret to Cabernet. Is that Cabernet?
Cabaret to Cabernet.
I hate when he tries to be cute and funny and intelligent.
Who, Falcon?
Yeah. Come out and see the trashy and classy women and the men who love them. Hosted by Falcon, emceed by Scott Kenyon and Crystal Ray Lee Love. On Friday, October 16th at 8 p.m. over at George Bar, 617 Fairview. Once again, benefiting Legacy Community Health Services and Hatch through Coronation XXVI, 10% going to Chaos. I'm done.
From now on, all announcements must be submitted as a haiku.
Or at least a limerick.
Oh,
there
Lord.
Once was a man from Kentucky.
Oh, my. Fired Up, Anne-Marie Gill hosts over at Tony's Corner Pocket on Saturday, October 17th from 8 to 11 p.m. This is the final fundraiser to send people with AIDS to see the Illuminations Project at the Hobby Center on November 11th. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc. presents Double Nickel.
Ooh.
Hosted by Emperor 16 of Fort Worth, Melissa Flores, and Grand Dame Houston, Sarah Scholender.
Okay.
And Duke 25 Houston, Chris Valk. on Saturday, October 17th at 10 p.m. over at Chance's Bar.
Now, there's a wicked trio. Mm. That's trouble walking on six legs.
Oh, when you said trio, I just thought you were talking about Sarah Sherlander.
Six abreast.
This is a benefit for Legacy Community Health Services in Hatch through Coordination 26 and 10% of all monies to Kimberly Ann O'Neill.
Chaos.
Scholarship fund.
Scholarship. Yeah, chaos.
Yeah. The fourth annual.
You're going to regret calling it chaos a couple of weeks last month because that's just what I use now.
Fourth annual Knights of the Round Table, Living with AIDS. HIV and AIDS in Houston on Sunday.
Sunday.
October 18th, 2009, over at the BRB. Mm. Shows at 7 p.m. The MCs for the night are Christopher Garrett and Anne Marie Gill. Oh. All proceeds go to Legacy's Body Positive for the nutrition program. Your donations help people in our community.
Cool. Sounds kind of perverted having an AIDS roundtable and calling somebody Lancelot.
Oh, my.
And the crowd goes silent.
Yeah. Chirp.
Well, that's because Jimmy's giggling. That we're watching Chris play with his Redenbacher.
Save the date.
Too. Oh.
Hey, right, back in the day, the grandson wasn't bad, all right?
Save the date. The secret's out on October 22nd. Oh, jeez. Come find out why the Montrose Counseling Center is the best-kept secret in Houston's gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. At 6 p.m., there's a reception. At 7 p.m., there's a light dinner and presentation, all taking place over at the Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Bernard, and on the first floor.
And speaking of 401 Bernard on the first floor, on
that's
October,
where Jimmy's always seen?
Yes, October the 24th.
No, that place is down on I-45 South.
Hey. Oh, I'm sorry.
Only on the first floor because he can't go any lower.
Or higher.
Trust me, he tries to go much lower.
There's just not any basements in Houston.
Well, on October the 24th,
there actually is.
Mr. Prime Choice, Houston, would you? putting on a fundraiser for GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, Inc. And it's called A Night at the Tickler. It's an erotic art and object auction. We are turning the ballroom of the Cultural Center into an adult bookstore for the evening.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term ballroom.
There you go. $7 cover, just like you're used to when you get buzzed in through that door at your favorite ABS. There's beer and wine, and we've got auctioneers for the evening, Lloyd Powell and Melissa Flores, and also Silent Auction. All kinds of goodies from art to objects that can be used for pleasure. Yes. What is he doing with that thing?
Is there going to be caramel cobs there?
Evidently not. He's devouring them.
No,
as
I
we
need
speak.
To heat it up some.
Heat it up some?
Yeah. Chris said he's not going to be there unless he gets a caramel cob.
Oh, I'd love to give him one.
Okay.
I think I'm going to leave now. See you.
Okay, you may finish.
I'm going to blow chunks, and I don't mean going chub for chub.
Oh. And you'll be sorry you had that corn on the cob last night.
Come over and see GCAM's extensive glory hole collection.
That's right.
The history of the glory hole.
Presented by Jimmy.
From chisel to Dremel tool.
Chisel to Dremel.
Love those Dremels.
Let's see. Houston Women's Festival advance tickets are now on sale for $16.
Better hurry.
Buy now, save, as the ticket prices will increase to $23 at the door. So come out and join 1,200-plus women.
And 5 men.
On Saturday, October 24th, for the 15th anniversary of this great event that celebrates women, music, art, culture, and community.
Ooh.
They got a great lineup of music this year to include Michelle Malone, Sick of Sarah, Vici Martinez, Natalita Zuckerman, and lots more.
Say that 5 times fast.
No, thank you.
You're having a hard enough time saying it 1 time slow.
I know, right? Ginger Lay lends her humor and sharp wit as MC.
Not that one. She retired from the business.
Oh.
The Empire, the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single... Virgin Mary.
You can say a Reese's.
He's losing his mic. He's interrupted me for the last time.
Okay. Well, it could be worse. We could be going to music.
Yes, Aresis presents Soul Fonda Pumpkin Patch, presented by Emperor 25 J.P. Gill, and hosted...
And Peter Pumpkin Eater.
Yeah, that too. Hosted by Imperial Princess Lillian Devereaux and Count Doug Weiss. Yeah.
We've told you once, we've told you twice. It's Weiss.
Ooh.
Yeah. On Lillian, Sunday.
Get the reference.
Lillian Devereaux is doing that? She'll stoop to anything, won't she?
I know, right?
I've heard that about that bitch.
On October 25th.
As long as he stays upright.
Over at the BRB, there's a murder mystery.
Away from the bar.
Yeah. There's a murder mystery contest. Try to figure out who killed the performer in decorated pumpkin auction.
Oh, they're going to bump her off, huh?
Probably. Show's open to all performers, and, well, usual suspects are the beneficiaries.
Uh-huh.
Then here's Ginger once again.
Ginger?
Yeah, Ginger Lay.
Yeah, lesbian playing at the Mucky Duck.
At the Mucky Duck on Tuesday, November 10th at 7:30 p.m.
It writes itself sometimes. It really does.
Yep, so mark your calendars. It'll be here before you know it. And that's from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. over at McGonagall's Mucky Duck.
Okay.
And I'm not reading the Facebook link.
I don't blame you.
That's all I got.
Okay, that should do it. Where are we now?
Quickie.
Ah,
turn back on the mics.
It is on.
Not all of them.
It is.
Oh.
One, two, three.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Breaker. Breaker 1-9. This is Big Daddy.
Oh, Jimmy's going to go in there?
Come to the light, Caroline.
You can't have my corn cob. I know you. Remember, this is supposed to be caramel, not chocolate coated.
I don't know where you've had that last. I don't want it.
I opened it in front of you.
Yeah, but you haven't been in my presence the entire time.
And I've seen what kind of presence he has.
You don't want to know.
Like you're a discerning gourmet when it comes to that.
Let's get Jimmy. He'll eat.
No. What's he doing? He's gone to the other room. Shall we go to a piece of music?
No, let's just go here. Let's stick with these.
Okay.
We are here with the Colt 45s.
Hello.
That's your cue.
I'm Phil Lyles, president.
Hi, I'm Stephen Bunch.
Hi, Stephen. Oh. Wrong meeting.
Where are the donuts and the coffee? Close enough.
Coffee's out there. I don't think we have any donuts this week.
Surprisingly, because usually there's at least a day-old donut in there somewhere. So what's going on with the Colts?
Well, let's see. We just finished the LVO PWA campout. Had a wonderful time.
Oh, wait, hold on. Everybody, rotate.
Here I am. See? See ya.
Steven, back away from the headphones.
It's not a caramel club. But no, we just finished the LVL camp out.
Yeah, we did.
Doing lunch.
Boy, was that fun.
Doing lunch for the LVL camp out.
Yes, thank you very much.
We were double booked that day, so some of us did the LVL camp out. Some of us did a reception for the Bears, because the Bears celebrated their anniversary that day as well.
Right, right.
So that's what we were up to. What's coming up is we are getting ready to do our fall harvest event. In November. Yeah.
November.
That's what's happening. I still think it's amazing to me that you guys will drive 150 miles to serve lunch.
Well, you know.
Hello, the president's a fat boy. It's all about food. Yeah.
Yeah, but the scary part is you serve sloppy joes to partially clothed men.
Sloppy joes.
It's just, you know.
Sloppy joels.
Sorry. I just saw too many, How do you explain a man which burn in your crotch?
I've done it before.
Very carefully.
What have you not done before? Just out of curiosity.
Well, there was a time that the polydent got stuck in the jaws of life were required.
I did not get naked. What? That weekend.
I thought I felt the earth go off kilter.
I was...
You took a shower, didn't you?
Well, I did that, yes, but I didn't run
around.
You
didn't shower alone, did you?
I tried not to.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Yes, the woodland creatures thanked him for not frolicking naked in the woods. Yeah, Bambi's an orphan, can only put up with so much crap, and seeing Jimmy running around.
Come here, Thumper, come here, Thumper.
That kind of gives the whole new meaning to the whole Thumper thing.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, you know, he does practice that when he goes to the airport restroom, the little Thumper.
You know. Well, I don't want people to expect, you know, they should expect
keep
the unexpected from me.
Keep them guessing, baby.
Yeah,
keep them guessing.
That's right.
But yeah, so November 15th, we do have our fall harvest.
Ooh, good.
Fall roundup event. And then December 20th is our Christmas show.
And that fall roundup is with the help of the Colt 45s, PWA Holiday Charities,
ooh,
Southern Country Houston,
and all of our friends are there to help support.
But we've just had somebody from the community come on that's actually raising. We raise money and food products. Food products to help Resurrection MCC Food Pantry, mm-hmm, as well as any toiletry items we can give to Bering Omega Hospice.
See, once again, it always goes back to food. Big boy likes food.
Yep.
What can I say?
Yep.
And Miss Amelia?
Yeah.
Can you tell?
Back away.
V8 and vodka works every time.
So, no vodka. How are the Colts doing?
We're doing well, I believe. As far as I'm concerned, we actually are working on going paperless. We just got some equipment so we can go paperless pretty soon. So.
Wow, how are you going to do that?
We don't buy anymore.
But I would recommend, though, that
we use our hands.
Okay. I see.
Yes, ooh, I recommend
that's another story on the whole paperless.
They're trying to get the bathroom before you come to the meeting. So.
Try
Cobs.
Camel Cobs.
They're recyclable.
No, we just got a laptop. Thanks to some help from our community, we just purchased a laptop, a scanner, and a shredder.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So
we're pretty excited about
big sheet fed scanner that you put, you know, a whole ream of Enron size documents in and just run them through there. And
wow.
But they're not the same ones because it doesn't scan them and shred them at the same time. That's two separate machines.
Glory holes that might have specimen samples on them, whatever.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. From Jimmy's past. We don't want you to get incriminated for anything,
honey.
Thank you. We do what we can.
We put the C in CSI.
Actually.
You figure out what it stands for.
No. Actually, I'm pretty excited about the fact we're going paperless. It's a pretty cool thing. Basically, the idea came up after what happened in Galveston with Ike,
mm-hmm,
about people's personal papers being strewn all over the city.
Yeah.
So we decided maybe this was the best thing for our clients, to keep that confidentiality going.
Over 1,600 clients we have.
Wow.
So, well, client records.
Yeah.
And there's a few more in there, but... We've got a lot of paperwork after 34 years.
Sure. Can imagine.
Like I said, we want to keep it confidential. That's what we promised. So that's what's going on with us, kind of, sort of, currently.
You're still working it.
We're always working it the best we can.
Mm-hmm. Plus, always gearing up for that big old Christmas in July that we get help from PWA Holiday Charities from.
Mm-hmm.
From our clients. We get a lot of help from our friends.
It's always good to have friends.
That'd be a theme for our Louis show, but, you know, we're not singing this year. I know you're disappointed.
Yes.
So we're going to use the only talent that we have.
Oh, God. I'll pay extra for that.
Well, we probably should spoil.
You may want to.
You want to spoil that surprise for him?
No.
Okay.
No. We don't want to spoil the surprise. Just back away from the stage.
You'll hear no noise coming out of our mouths.
There you go.
Where will we hear the noise coming from?
Stay tuned. Oh yeah, we've got a whole new experience for Louis coming this year.
Oh my.
Yes, yes. We've been asked not to do several things at Louis, so we blocked them all out, and we're going to go with what we do best.
Ooh, goody. So there'll be pantomime then. Fellows left.
No, Jimmy wasn't available that night.
What? I went to the
sock puppets.
Look, Ma, no hands.
Okay, see, that even left me speechless for a moment.
Well, that is the spirit of the movie. You talked about the December.
You're going to be impersonating it. November 15th yeah. is the fall roundup, and then December 20th is our Christmas show.
Which is the decorate a... What are we at this year? Stocking,
actually,
wreath,
actually,
tree.
Actually, this year I think we've decided we're going to combine all three, and you decorate what you can decorate.
Yeah. What I can decorate is not one of those three.
Well, no, that's not.
Those are miniature trees, not bottle brushes.
I think I actually seem to have this lovely little stocking sitting in my living room that is covered in pink fur. So, honey, I don't.
Where did you ever get that?
I don't know. I think last year at the Christmas show for the Colt 45s. But yeah, so this year I think we've kind of decided as a group that we're just going to like combine the three. We're going to give you three options. You decorate what you can.
Okay.
Hey, if it's a caramel cob,
I'm thinking. Yeah.
Put a few cranberries in there.
At first, I thought it was the ends of the Virgin Mary.
A few green M&Ms.
Now I think it's Tony Orlando.
Menorah.
Ooh, menorah.
Oh. Okay.
But the reason I say it's got the image of Tony Orlando in it because I don't think it's ever going to see the dawn.
Okay. Oh, no. He didn't go there.
What?
I mean, it'll be gone by morning. That's what I mean.
And there's always got to be a morning after.
Mm.
But we thank you very much.
That's a really thick one, you know.
We always...
Don't talk about Stephen like
him. Isn't it so great to do prop humor on a radio show?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Because now everybody that's listening
well,
is going,
if you
what?
You describe it enough, they get it.
At the base, it's about 2 inches in diameter.
I know.
And it pretty much keeps that 2-inch diameter until it gets to the very top where it cones off at about an inch.
Slightly tapered for easier entry into the orifice.
And ribbed for your pleasure. Naturally.
Got those little buttons on it, those little...
You kind of... It looked like you tried to circumcise
just
it.
Just push the right buttons.
Well, after I microwave, it'll be easier to go down.
I'll bet.
Okay.
And you can get these at Walgreens.
What will we do with a drunken sailor?
You know, I should have bought something like, you know, I should have bought this, maybe I think a baby oil and a dog leash.
I'm not drunk, thank you very much.
that would have been worth, you know, have someone back there filming the cash register clerk and put down this corn cob thing, a bottle of baby oil, and a pet leash.
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, I can think of
like
worse things,
night.
But I won't get into them on the radio.
Like I said, that sounds like a fun night at my house.
Let's see. Mr. Banana back
We're
here.
Making cob salad tonight. You get the... Yeah, we just give you what the
there
ingredients
you
and you toss your own.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
As we go further downhill.
Where were we again? What were we talking about?
Christmas special.
Okay.
Christmas special.
Yes.
There we go. Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
What were you going to decorate for Christmas?
Yes.
For this could be Frosty's nose.
Oh. Or actually, it looks like Pinocchio's at Christmas. But anyway.
Tell me a lie. Tell me the truth. Tell me a lie.
Happy birthday.
Oh, Santa.
Let's see.
Santa, baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty yeah. then.
Wow. I haven't done a tree in a while.
Well, you know what? All the oaks in Houston are happy.
And now coming in from left field, Jimmy Carper.
I have not decorated a tree.
Oh.
In
okay.
their
cults.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, thank
yeah.
God.
Okay. Okay. Well, like I said, I think we decided.
He may not have decorated a tree,
but are you guys providing the trees, the wreaths, and the.
Right, right. So actually, if you want to be a triple threat, there you go. Decorate one of each.
And we'll probably have those at the November meeting of the Houston Council of Clubs.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Okay.
Which is just around the corner.
Yeah.
Go to the website and figure out.
Can you believe it's October?
I know. Isn't that weird?
It really is. It's really kind of, it's like, okay, and everybody's screaming, oh, it's Halloween. I'm like, okay, what happened to January?
Yeah.
You know.
Do you have to leave the room?
Oh, no. But for those of you out there, I know we've had a little bit of levity. But if you or somebody you know needs help with rent utility assistance, the Colt 45s help people with AIDS that are on disability with rent utility assistance. We have an easy three-page form that's available at our website, www.colt45s.org. You can go to the flashing red panel or the red panel on the left-hand side with AIDS Trouble Fund, and you can download our application. Many of your case management workers have those applications where they can do that if you know somebody who needs it. And our hotline number is 713-528-6077.
Wait a minute. That was way too fast.
713-528-6077.
I'm not Robert Helms. I can't sign language that fast.
Okay.
Not without blisters.
A little bit closer to the microphone so they can see it. Oh, okay.
7-1.
Okay.
It's Helen Keller, the later years.
Vodka.
Well, that technically was her first word.
Okay.
Vodka?
I know Brendan from Hatches here.
Hey, do we have hatchlings, though?
I didn't. They may have arrived since I've been sitting here.
So you just saw Brendan.
Misbehaving with us?
Searching, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, can't blame you.
See what happens when y'all misbehave with us, then the children show it.
Yeah, I know.
What's up with that?
Do we have some music?
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh.
So are we ready?
Do we have a lot of music?
I don't know. Did you bring yours?
Don't go through too much music, because we're going to need it at the end of the month.
We're going to keep Jimmy hostage out of the patio.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Don't tease him.
We're just going to show him pretty pink things.
Show me your pretty pink thing.
It's old and shriveled. It's about 69.
And
speaking of which, yes? I have a show as Mr. BRB. 2009, believe it or not. November 1st.
How come we don't know about it?
Because I keep everything hidden from you because you tell everybody. And it's called Tougher in Pink.
Oh!
Benefiting the Southern Country Houston and their beneficiaries, Chaos.
I better
not the ones
who
get smart, but
one.
Chaos, as well as the sisters. Falling into the breast cancer month, October.
Yeah.
Helping to save second base for all our lesbian friends out there.
Gotcha. And so it's not about me. Something pink and it's
he
not
didn't
about
get that
honey,
one.
The first word should have let you know it wasn't about you. It was Tougher in Pink.
I have two shirts that say real men wear pink.
Okay. Both of them have lace.
And I have a pink shirt that says I do my own nude scenes, too. But that doesn't mean it happens, okay?
We are on the radio. Let's be honest. Nobody can see our faces.
We all have faces for radio.
As we always tell Lily, press hard, you make it 3 copies.
Exactly.
Catch me,
I'm
falling.
We do that in the car business, too.
Yeah, it didn't work last time.
Yeah, unfortunately, no, it didn't. But speaking of Catch Me, I'm Falling,
yes.
Just a little personal plug.
Okay.
And we were talking about the big
since we pick up the corn,
we both reach for it.
You sick man. No,
yes. What's your point?
What I understand is the Diva is going to be at Tony's Corner Pocket tomorrow celebrating their 3rd anniversary.
Really?
Starting at 5 p.m. So, yeah, Tony's Corner Pocket's been around for 3 years.
Wow.
So that evil, bitter bitch that fell off the bar, she's going to be there. The bionic bitch, as
Where's she going to be next Friday?
Next Friday, she's actually going to be at TC's.
Where's that?
That is the bar formerly known as Cousins.
Oh. Now, they've changed that around. They're a nice
it's
little
actually
patio
really
thing
modeled.
Going
yeah,
out.
It's
going
actually,
on
it's
out
actually
there
really pretty. Yeah.
I've not been in it since they redid it.
You have to come check it out.
Yeah.
Come
next
check
Friday,
out.
Huh?
But, yeah, so tomorrow night is Tony's Corner Pocket, where the celebrating the 3 years, and actually next Saturday is TC's grand opening party. Starts at 3 o'clock. They're actually going to shut down the street for 7 hours.
You're kidding?
A little tweener street. Yeah, the little tweener street.
Yeah.
Budweiser men are going to be there giving away all kinds of Budweiser.
No
things.
Kidding.
Yeah. So yeah, she'll be there too. So she's got a fun-filled weekend next weekend. But yeah.
We need to talk to those Budweiser people. We need beer for that
show,
the GCAM show.
Oh,
yeah,
actually, yeah. So Popeye, you can talk to the Budweiser people there. But yeah,
So, wow. And actually, the Houston Area Bears are also doing their beer bus tomorrow at Tony's. So. All kinds of madness happening.
I know
city
it.
Tomorrow,
I know it.
Along with Boo Boo's birthday.
Yeah.
So bring the shorts.
He picked the right day to be burnt.
Bring the shorts.
That's Boo Boo.
Boo Boo was burnt on the right day.
Or the right day to escape the vagina.
Okay, I'm not even going to go there. The pictures were flowers.
I remember the
flowers.
First, I think one of the first times I saw Boo Boo's when you made him put on see-through underwear at Tony's.
Which I understand may be at an art at the Tickler.
Yeah.
I understand they may be there.
Mm-hmm.
Along with some other items that Stephen wants to offer. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Oh.
Well, you know.
Because, you know,
whatever
Stephen,
you've got to offer will beg.
Stephen has many things to offer.
Well, I'm a founding member. Hello.
I was a fondling member.
That too. Yeah, I'm in charge of the erotic.
Either one of you talk, you owe me a Coke.
Okay. Must be time for music.
Who turned his mic on? All right, here we go.
Another day and more dragons to slay. Among so many things to do. I went away and I wanted to stay. These heartstrings drew me back. Shadows meet light on the moon. Opening wings in the cool of the spring. We'll rise on high with a tune. I work so
keeping with KPFT's mission of bringing the voices of the community to you, here is one of your candidates in the upcoming election for local station board.
My name is Jerome Bailman, and I seek your support to serve on the local station board of KPFT. It is my hope that I can effectively serve the mission of KPFT through my experience as a nonprofit's arts administrator and in local individual artists. I am interested to serve on the LSB to further independent expression for our city. I envision KPFT to continue to provide quality programming that reflects diverse audiences of our community. The station will better serve its listeners if we provide tools and training to the next generation of programmers. I would be very interested to develop more programmers that represent the voice of the Asian Pacific American community, a community that is underrepresented in KPFT programming.
That was a statement by Jerome Vailman. For complete candidate statements and more information about all of your candidates for the local station board, please visit kpft.org. This is KPFT Houston.
KPFT 90.1 FM presents the One World Music Jam, Ancient Beats, Ancient Rhythms, Saturday, October 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. Experience the dynamic, thunderous sounds, graceful movements, and symbolic regalia of percussion groups representing traditional cultures from Africa, Asia, the Americas, and Europe performing together for the first time on the same stage during this music and dance celebration of our undeniable oneness. Only on this one night will you witness a jam session featuring members of Kumba House Dance Theater, Grupo Midotiani, Caminari Taiko, Space City Gamelan, and Spot Albert in a finale you won't want to miss. The readers of the Houston Press voted KPFT as the best radio station in both 2008 and 2009. Visit us at kpft.org for current updates on the One World Music Jam. This is KPFT Houston.
You're listening to After Hours on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, kpft.org.
Well, now you sure put in a long day up on the hilltop. Everything looks great from way down here. What you gonna do now that all the hubbub's over? Why don't you climb on down and have a beer? Because for 3 days you could let your hair down. For 3 days go have sex on the beach. For 3 days you could drive a red Ferrari. In just 3 days you could have me on my knees. And you could dance with me. Need some sympathy. Does it really end at 33? Come on, let's roll the stone and make a holiday. Go and have some fun, just you and me. Because for 3 days we could shoot a wad in Vegas. For 3 days go have sex on the beach. For 3 days you could wear the queen's tiara. 3 days you could kill us all with peace. And you could dance with me. Come on and dance with me. Come on and dance with me. Yeah. Dance with me. Oh, you dance with me. Come on and dance with me. Dance. dance with me. Yeah, dance with me. And for 3 days you could cruise with the top down. For 3 days go have sex on the beach. For 3 days we could drown in blue martinis. 3 days, oh, 3 days. 3 days, yeah, 3 days. You could dance with me. Come on, dance with me. Dance with me. Yeah, dance with me.
Be the same to me. IKEA, gay men in an ad by IKEA, and suddenly I found that images abound of me. IKEA, I am loved, that is what they're saying. Or do they just love what I'm paying? IKEA, I'll never stop buying IKEA. And love displaying, I will never ask what price I'm paying. IKEA, I'm okay if I just buy IKEA. Approval boiled down to a single word, IKEA. And roll. We wanna sock it to your hole. We don't
bots, erotobots. Robots, booty bots, erotobots. Robots, booty bots, erotobots. Robots, booty bots, erotobots. We're making space, love in zero gravity. Take your time, time has stopped. Spiral on out to infinity.
It was just those things. But don't ever let me I'm gonna be true. If you let me, you're gonna love me like nobody loved me. Together, unhappy together, and won't it be fine? Days may be cloudy and sunny. You ain't
love you always. Oh, love you. Rain, rain or shine.
Is now burned in my mind. From the front, I may not be Adonis, but I'm blessed with a fabu behind. You're always elastic. My ass looks fantastic. Why hadn't I noticed before? Well, my belly's already. My butt is porn ready, although modesty mandates soft core. At the gym, one can make so much progress, and it's hard to assess day to day. And the truth is, my potter's horse. Sculptors, it all depends on the grade of the clay. To carry the metaphor further, I've got Play-Doh for arms and for gut, but I sit on the highest grade of marble, and what's more, it appears it's pre-cut. I focused my flexes on quads and on pecs with little attention to glutes. Who knew my midsection was home to perfection? I'm blessed with a couple of beauts. Under all this acrylic, my ass is idyllic. Why hadn't I noticed before? If I just read their faces, those envious traces, when my tush follows me out the door. So now, when someone says, wow, what an ass, I humbly say, thank you.
Something that I never said, a story that I've never shared. I was only 20 years old, he was a love affair. Soon became a humble home, wrecked with animosity. Took it to the bottle, and then turned around and took it out on me. And I was just a boy, a scrawny little boy, a naive, faggot little boy, too confused.
me. Life has been so good to me, taught me things about the soul. Pain is just an error in thought that I'm in full control. Glad I started long ago, learning the hardest way. Now I know my power, and that bullshit would never fly today. And I was just a boy, sheltered little boy. I let you own that little boy. Might have been too young to see, but the fuss you made of me. It's comical when I'm looking back. I see you made a man out of me.
What a set. That was Sister Double Happiness with Lightning Struck.
Sister Double.
Gary Floyd is the mastermind behind Sister Double Happiness. They are not around anymore, but Gary Floyd certainly is. He's put out an album of two on his own and done other projects. He's a Texas, an Austin-based
musician.
Started with the Big Boys, and he was openly gay back in the 80s doing that.
Oh, wow.
Alternative music. And before that,
you want to expect me to read his writing?
Levi Kreiss with
Man Out of Me.
Mm-hmm. That's a live version.
Oh, that's your handwriting.
Yeah, that's Jimmy's handwriting.
D.C. Anderson, My Ass Looks Fantastic.
Ooh.
Leah Delaria, Come Rain, Come Shine.
Mm-hmm. That was a sweet, sweet version.
I just love her singing.
Yeah.
I do, too. That's why I chose it.
The only problem is playing that at this hour is that people are going to, nod off on the freeway. I mean, it's kind of slow and quiet.
It's long.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful, beautiful...
I saw her last night.
She is such a foul-mouthed bitch, you know? And then she comes out with this... fabulous jazz stuff, it's just
the whole CD is just great.
I love the
whole CD.
I just watched a movie of hers last night, First Wives Club,
mm-hmm.
where she was in Hits on Goldie Hawn.
And I bet she did it on purpose. I bet she paid them to be in that movie.
Like I said, the other twisted part is
I haven't seen that in a while.
Seeing her or at least hearing her voice on cartoons.
Yeah.
She played on The Oblongs, which I enjoy that cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know she was on that.
Yeah, she plays the fat girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be...
Not typecast or anything.
I do not believe she has mouses running around in the roles of her fat.
Mm.
Before that was the B-52's Love in the Year 3000, Pansy Division Anthem, Naked with 3 Days, Kinsey Six, Ad Nauseam.
Ad... Anthem, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Kinsey Six, Ad Nauseam, John Raymond Pollard, Overdue, Jim Veros, One More Time.
Well, those first,
that's where we started the show off.
The first two were where we started the show.
Yeah.
Jim Veros, and the opening of the show was John Raymond Pollard with Jawbone Blues.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I kind of tend toward the bluesy stuff.
Well, which is strange because you're so pinky.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's when he was born, too.
Pinky.
Well, Hatch is not going to join us this evening, as we have surmised. However, we have an ex-hatchling here.
One of the few times we like using the term ex.
Well,
Former hatchling. How's that? Steven?
Former a long time ago.
Yeah, well.
You're an old fart. Get used to it. Your best years
are behind. Which is the reason I started showing up at the radio station.
Yeah.
Was for the hatch, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I started out on the board. I was with the hatch for a while, for a couple of years, and then they elected me to the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, well, now you got to come to the radio station.
What?
Yeah, sure. So that was once a month. I came a few times and off in the back corner. And
yeah, I remember you quiet, shy, off in the back. Yeah, yeah. If you can imagine. He was very shy.
Didn't we? Yeah, this microphone scared me. Now it's just like talking and no big deal. But then I started, you know, talking more each month, and then I just started showing up weekly since it was just once a month, and then, yeah. Met some great guys, friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's been going on with your life? I mean, you went to school.
Yeah.
And then now you've been gallivanting all over the country.
Yeah. They've been shipping me everywhere.
So who do you work for now?
I work for Four Seasons Hotels.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very nice.
And what do you do for them?
I renovate. Renovate the hotels over construction and renovation.
Really?
Yeah. So I've been based in Dallas. I just finished a 2-year, $38 million renovation to the Dallas property.
Wow.
Which is crazy. But in between that, they ship me off to different help outs. So when they like shut a wing down to one of the hotels and renovate it, then I come in and kind of manage, get things going. And,
yeah. And what's your experience in doing that?
My parents have owned that construction company since 77.
Yeah.
So.
And he can build a multi-layered cake. Similar.
Yeah, you know, you go to school and you know for cooking and you know and you come out and you you're like this incredible baker and now you're doing construction.
If you can build a penis cake, you can build a Four Seasons.
Evidently.
And a vagina cake.
Oh yeah.
That was
the salmon loaf one you did, right?
Yeah. 5 shades of pink and the piercing.
Yeah.
With toasted coconut, she was blonde.
She was. She was.
I think Merlin,
I don't
want to
know.
Picture of that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Had the little hourglass and had the legs.
Mm-hmm.
I had to look in some magazines to know what one looked like. Last time I saw one, I was getting born. I don't remember.
Yeah, just, you know.
And that's one of those projects I don't think you know, even though it's cooking related, it's not like you can go, Mom, I need some help on the kitchen. Your mom's very open, but not.
No.
Go over like a lead balloon.
No, because we've talked about your background before. Coming out, you grew up in Santa Fe, Texas.
Very small redneck town, south of down by Galveston.
And
I wasn't out in high school. I came out about a year after I was outed. Let me correct that. I was outed to my parents, so I was forced out. But before I was outed, I was kind of dabbling in riches and going out and having fun and meeting some friends and stuff. So, but yeah, when they found out, it was bad.
It was bad at first. Because, you know, Santa Fe, he runs a construction company. Yeah, everybody in town knows your folks and you.
And me, yeah. Because, I mean, at age 13, I was running crews in the town and working on wells and construction crews and doing a lot of work. So yeah, a lot of the people, the guys, they knew they either my dad or I was the next best thing. So
yeah.
It was and back then Mom and Dad were like, oh god, they were so, I was so scared, don't tell anybody, don't put any rainbow stickers. And I was in my pride stage. I wanted to scream it. I wanted to tell everybody.
And then they found PFLAG.
Right. Well, I mean, almost a year, we found Exodus International.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah, that was first. And, howdy, that was the year from hell.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Because her brother, my uncle, got him set up in that. And
really?
They would see the once a week, and then I would see him once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then every opposite week, we would three see him. So, I mean, and that's the whole thing, is pumping money out of people, is the scared and perpetuating the fear in these people and pumping money out of them.
Oh, it costs to do this, huh?
Oh, extremely.
You're
kidding.
You don't
think the Lord's works for free?
No, I mean, it's like regular therapy, like psychiatric therapy and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, it's, oh, it's, you know, 100-something bucks an hour. Yeah.
No, I did not know that part.
Twice a week for the two of us, and then every other week it was three times a week for...
Jeez.
Yeah, they were, and that was for a year.
Note to Jesus, the money changers are back in the temple.
Yeah.
Jerry Simino one time said, going on the same, he was like, show me an ex-gay person who does not make a living being ex-gay, and I will show you someone who's truly changed.
Yeah.
Which, I think it's perfect.
That really is kind of, yeah, because any of them... Their success stories are the ones who are still with the organization.
Right. Yeah. And then you read back on the organization and how many people
have... Oh, yes! Yes! In the early days, there was this huge scandal because...
Paulus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not
John
him.
John Paulus.
It was before that,
oh.
Even. Two young honchos went to a conference and met each other and fell in love and ran off together.
Oh, there was some hot boys
there. I'll bet.
Oh, God.
I remember that from the Love One from the Love One Out of
Yes, that's right. John Pulse. Yeah.
There was a lot of guys that are like, hey, forget that. Forget what they're talking about. Okay, I'll show you.
But I was already out, before my parents knew, I was already out in the community, so I mean, I was well established within myself.
Yeah.
So I wasn't changing, and I was going for more humoring my parents. But I didn't know on the opposite times, the guy was telling my parents, oh yeah, he's changing, he's seeing the light, and whatever.
Really?
Yeah, now talking
they're
to
pumping,
my parents, they were pumping,
pumping their ass full of sunshine.
Yep, exactly.
That only cost you $40 over on Pacific Street.
Ooh.
Yeah, and if sunshine's not there, ask for moonbeam. That's
I'll bet.
Oh, that's true.
Oh.
But then we did a hate crimes march in Austin.
Yeah.
And I met the wonderful Jim and Sue Noll.
Uh-huh.
They're amazing people. They moved to...
North Carolina.
Yeah, somewhere. Oh, they're having a... Hell of a time.
They still pump in emails.
Oh, Sue still sends email after email after email to LSA, Lone Star Activist. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah. And
she still sends in a PFLAG, too, yeah.
She reports on, you know, the progress and the things she does. And, you know, any little thing that's positive, she
that's
hops
good.
On it. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, North Carolina, that's... Not such a hotbed of liberalism over there.
You lie.
Yeah.
Then, so your parents met Jim and Sue.
No, I.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, me and my best friend Clay,
uh-huh.
Who I just at his house earlier. But anyway, we drove to Austin to a hate crimes march
uh-huh.
back when James Byrd Jr. was going before
that was
'02. Yeah, anyway, that was before 01, because anyway, it was, 2000 or so.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they tell me all about PFLAG and all this stuff, and I was like, oh, my parents will never, never go to PFLAG meeting. And now looking in hindsight.
I know!
But,
now they are PFLAG.
Yeah. Anyway, so Jim and Sue, they mailed me a whole pamphlet information and stuff. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll keep that in my truck. One night we had a huge fight at the house,
yeah.
And I handed him the papers, and I was like, here, y'all need this. And I left. I went home. And about an hour later, they called me on the phone and asked, when's the next meeting?
Wow.
And I was like, who is this?
What have you done with my parents?
Like, man, what? You know, if it was just pamphlets that would have done this, I would have done it years
ago. Yeah, no kidding. Save them hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. So, lo and behold, I think the next weekend was the PFLAG meeting.
Uh-huh.
So, if you're going to be a fly on the wall on that car ride back home, I imagine. I took a separate vehicle. But Blake Weiser, we went in and sat in. It was at the Christ Church downtown still.
Uh-huh.
We went
yeah.
down the basement because they had something going on. And about every two or three sentences, Blake Weiser would turn around and look at Mom and Dad.
You're
see
kidding.
How they were doing.
You're
yeah.
kidding.
Oh, and Blake is, she's awesome. She's
oh,
like
yeah.
mid-80s little spunky woman that
she
just
is.
Goes and goes and goes.
With long hair on one side and short hair on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And just
you know, these big old glasses and just...
just your typical sweet grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful person.
And doesn't know a stranger.
Mm-mm. No. That was the June meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept talking about the parade.
Yeah.
So every two or three, she'd turn around, y'all come to the parade. And so by the end of the meeting or so, and by the end of the month, Mom and I marched in that first parade together.
Wow.
And looking back, even at that point, I was like, wow, they've come a long way.
Yeah.
And then by the next year, Mom was librarian on the board, and Dad and I was getting a little bit more involved. And the year before that Mom and I marched, they had a float, and it was just kind of a thrown together at the last minute float. It was nice, but it was a rented truck, and they just put stuff on the side and went down the Westheimer. So I told Dad, we can do something better than this. We need to plan something better than this. So, the next month or two before, we started drawing up different stuff and built a little house, and boy, we went all out.
Yeah.
And we won the best float award. And for the next 8 years, we built the P-Flag float.
Yeah.
With, towards the end, last couple years, Sarah with P-Flag, Sarah Fernandez,
uh-huh.
Amazing artist, works with P-Flag. Helped quite a bit. She would do the signs and the pretty stuff, and
yeah.
Edwin and I would do the...
Oh, the butch stuff.
Yeah, yeah. the woodworking and stuff. But and then this past year, they were grand marshals.
Yes, I was so excited.
And Jim and Sue nominated them.
Yes, because I was on the nominating committee, and I was so happy to see that. And then I was at the event when it was announced. I just,
they were glowing.
They were.
I wish I was they announced it. Through the parade, they were just ecstatic. And Mom was so cute. When we were in the lineup to get in and saw the convertible, and she's like, well, I'll just sit down. I'm like,
no,
no, Mom, you got to sit on the back.
That's
up
right.
So you can wave.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll just... So it's like a 5-minute conversation with her to get her to... But she finally, and by the end of it, she's like, oh, I'm so glad I did.
Yep.
So, but, yeah.
Because it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal to do that.
It is.
And there's nothing like it.
You've been...
I've been, yeah. I was Grand Marshal for the first nighttime parade in way back in 1997.
I was a sophomore in high school.
Oh, boy.
All right, let me introduce you to Mr. Click here.
Yeah. Off mic.
97.
Yeah. See, they're all thinking where they were in 1997.
Hey, I'm still scratching my head there with my 20th reunion I just passed.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. 1997, I was getting out of the Navy.
I was in high school.
Oh,
all right, the bitches in the back got a shout out.
Okay.
The blonde boy don't die tonight.
But speaking of, since it's Hatch.
Speak when spoken to.
Yeah, I've kept in contact with quite a few ex-hatchlings as myself.
Mm-hmm.
The era of time. I was text messaging David Nordstrom.
Yeah, how's David
He's
doing?
He's up in North Houston. I'm going to sneeze here in a minute.
That's okay. I've got a cold. I've been coughing all night.
Oh.
I miss Dave.
Yeah. He's out with some friends, and I was text messaging him. It was Hatch, and there's nobody here. He needed to get down here, and he was like, oh, it's too late to drive down. But, no, he's good. He graduated A&M last year, I think.
Wow.
But at the economy right now, he's still trying to look for a job.
Yeah.
So he's student teaching? No, substitute teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I need to do junior high and elementary because the high school guys are just a little too hot.
Oh, he did not go there.
And if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's about time I do one of those stories of teacher-student relationship. And actually, hey, I know this person.
Uh-huh.
I'd be looking for those stories.
And let's see, Tarum Martinez.
David was always... much better looking than he thought he was.
Yeah.
And has so much more to offer than he thinks he does.
Yep.
And I hope he's listening.
He's smart. He's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
But see, I mean,
we need to have a Hatch reunion show.
Yeah. We do.
Probably a lot of cell phones lined up. You're really here. But,
And who else do you keep up with?
Well, Tara Martinez got married
yeah.
a couple years, earlier this year or something mm-hmm. to a very large lesbian. Works at Home Depot.
The large lesbian? Or
uh-huh. I don't know where Tara works.
We're gonna leave that one alone.
But, and then Rowdy,
uh-huh.
little Rowdy, he just graduated from Corpus. And then now he moved up to Dallas to Commerce. So
no.
actually hung out with him last, the Pride Parade,
uh-huh.
the day before Pride Parade was Gay Day at Six Flags.
Yeah.
I keep saying Astroworld, but.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But yeah, we hung out all day.
That dates you.
Yeah. Oh, I miss Astroworld. But that, and yeah, we hung out, and he's at a, he's getting his master's degree
Ooh.
In theater.
Ned,
from Texas
great.
Texas A&M Commerce.
Wow, yeah. All these A&Mers.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, David graduated
just like
from
gigging.
A&M.
Yeah.
Do what?
Just like gigging them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else?
That's so cool, though, that yeah. you keep in touch.
Quite a few of them, too, yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about Dan and Ryan, but haven't heard from them in quite a while. Mm-hmm. Last I heard, Dan had to go back to England.
Oh.
And then Ryan, because they got married about 3 years ago or so. I did I catered their wedding.
That's right, I remember that.
Oh, beef and chicken fajitas for $100.
Yeah.
And five lesbian vegetarians. Who would have thought mushrooms soaked up so much marinade?
That was a learning experience.
Yeah, very,
huh?
Yeah. Oh, they were like sponges. Then I had my straight roommate friend. She was going out on a date.
Uh-huh.
I had this big pot of 5 gallons of vegetable oil, and she was frying up chips.
Oh, God.
Them guests were eating them as fast as she could pull them out. She was there in a evening gown and high heels trying to fish out.
Oh, my chips. God. Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. Oh, that was an interesting evening. But, yeah, last I heard that they both, Ryan and Dan, moved back.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year or 2 years later, they ended up breaking up. And then Dan's still in England. Ryan went to Germany, I think.
Really?
And then I kind of lost, through David, but
yeah.
they kind of lost contact with them.
Wow.
But, yeah. And then Rowdy kept track of Sparkles, or Justin.
Yes.
But, and he's still here in Dallas, or in Houston.
In fact, he works for Montrose Counseling Center.
Does he?
Yes. Good. And I'm working with him.
Oh, good.
I'm on a committee that, of different queers who, they put together promotional materials, and then they have a committee that looks it over to see, they get
right.
opinions, and... Yeah, see that it's okay. And
I see Sparkle all the time, Justin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I haven't
still
seen
around.
Him. I think I saw him at the Pride Parade this past year, mm-hmm. but it was just kind of in quick passing.
He's got a boyfriend now.
Good.
Yeah.
He was all. He's really sweet, really
yes.
nice guy.
He's got it together. He does. A lot less sparkle than...
a lot less glitter involved.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
He's settled down. So... You were talking about traveling in Hawaii.
Yep, in Kona, Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
For spent about 3 weeks there, and about another 3 weeks in
Hilo,
Maui, and yeah, in Hilo, yeah. Maui. The two different properties.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to go over to Lanai property, but they've been very well renovated when Four Seasons acquired them.
Oh.
They actually just closed the whole island, renovated both hotels, and then opened them back up.
Yeah, Lanai is pretty nice.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, one is up in the
I've been there, but
mountains.
It's been like 30 years ago.
One is in the mountains, and then one is on the beach.
Yeah.
And a lot of celebrities like that where they can, because it's a very exclusive
Yes,
island,
it is.
And both
yes,
of those
is.
Are Four Seasons, so it's... And they like Four Seasons exclusive and our non-disclosure agreement policy that every employee has to sign.
Oh, yeah, well, because of the Four Seasons, there's a certain amount of quality
right.
that you expect. And okay. not that I'm
Prime.
Pushing the Four Seasons or anything. But,
right, but...
You know, because I don't stay at them. I can't afford them.
We did get an 85 on the HRC. They're not quite as inclusive on the transgendered side as we would like.
Okay.
But
neither is HRC.
Neither is HRC.
Really?
They vacillate, let's put it that way.
depending on what Barney Frank thinks this week.
Now who's saying things?
But Sarah DePalma and I went for years battling that.
I haven't seen Sarah in a while.
Yeah. She's got Parkinson's.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yes. I saw her about 5 months ago at the Whips anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't recognize her.
I think I saw her in here last time.
Boy, that's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a long while.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oof. But then, so the Kona property renovation was building a new addition. So they built, they have these like pods on the beach.
Yes.
So built three pods. There were about six hotel rooms apiece.
Ooh.
And then Maui was a brand new pool that was with an infinity edge.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous pool.
Yeah. And it's probably there overlooking the beach.
Right.
Which, explain this to me.
It overlooks our private beach.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Next thing you're going to know is why there's a swimming pool on a cruise ship.
Yep. You're all right.
Do you want your swimming water with salt?
Or with that? Yeah.
Pick one. Well, you can have swimming pools with salt in them.
All of our pools are salt.
Yeah.
Really?
So do you want the jellyfish?
I did not know that. Did not know that.
It's Four Seasons. Jellyfish.
We need to step out for a moment and do a couple of PSAs
yes,
at the top
we
of the
do.
Hour. This is After Hours, and here it is, PSA number one.
Lamar High School Alumni Association present Lamar alumni and nine-time Tony winner Tommy Toon in Steps in Time, a Broadway biography in song and dance, featuring the Manhattan Rhythm Kings at the grand opening of the Ned S. Holmes Performance Hall. This event will take place October 21st, 2009. There are two events, a 3 p.m. rehearsal, and a 7:30 p.m. performance. Lamar High School is located at 3325 Westheimer in Houston, Texas. For ticket information, go to the Lamar High School Alumni Association website, www.lamarhsalumni.com. Again, that is www.lamarhsalumni.com. KPFT Houston.
In keeping with KPFT's mission of bringing the voices of the community to you, here is one of your candidates in the upcoming election for local station board.
I am Nancy Saibar Naditomi, a 56-year-old mom with above-average energy, creativity, and tenacity. My interests are judicial, political, reform, food, water, and air safety. I believe KPFT can become an even greater jewel for creating peace and saving life on Earth through creative worldwide outreach. Power of by for the people is divine. And my name is Nancy Saibar Naditomi. Saibar means west pasture. Naditomi means becoming rich.
That was a statement by Nancy Saibar Naditomi. For complete candidate statements and more information about all of your candidates for the local station board, please visit kpft.org. The future of KPFT and the entire Pacifica network now rests upon the participation of our listener members. This is KPFT Houston.
And you are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Broadcasting on high-definition radio. You can go check out kpft.org and find out what's going on there. It sounds something like this.
For 10 years now.
Nope.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
The historical film that's being seized as far-right propaganda.
Well.
There's a teaser.
Okay.
They speak with a funny voice.
It is 2:01 a.m.
Yawn.
The bars are closed. You're listening to us in your car now.
Like they were listening to us in the clubs.
I know, right? Well, I know one club in that started to listen to us.
Really?
Yes. The one right up there in Humble.
No kidding.
Whispers Bar.
Oh.
Where my friend Mariah did her show last weekend.
Yes.
By the way, I did find out a dollar figure that they raised last weekend.
How did they do?
Over $300.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll say.
And for those of you who are still used to listening to the music in the club, here, I'll help you out.
That's all you need to know. Okay.
So Mariah has told me that she's planning on doing a few more shows, doing some holiday shows and stuff like that.
Great. So, tell her to stop by anytime and we'll promote them.
Yeah.
At least give us some information on them so we can promote them.
I'm beating her up for it.
I beg your pardon.
I always like when Judy came by, and she always brought some really interesting casts and some very good looking cast
members. Yeah. Yeah.
But now we just talk about Judy's pussy.
Her dewy pussy.
Her dewy pussy.
I hope Cat.
Yeah, the cat's name is Dewey.
Oh.
You wouldn't expect Judy at her age to have a dewy pussy, but she does. And it loves Jimmy. And Jimmy loves her dewy pussy.
That's what she said.
Oh, you and Judy have always been real close.
Well, for a year they were really close.
That was another one I couldn't resist.
She lived with me for a year.
Yeah, she had she had her own email address. Yeah. Judy@jimmyscouch.com.
Well, she was in a car accident, and she had to have foot surgery and hand surgery.
Ooh.
And then just as she was getting ready to go home from that, Ike happened.
And a
tree fell on her roof, and the bayou overflowed and flooded her home.
Oh, no.
And so she lived with me 1 week short of a year.
Woman's a lightning rod.
That explains the hair.
Oh! Oh!
What? So,
So you ought to see the other theater group we're bringing in, too. That we have two theater groups we do now.
Yeah, actually three.
Three?
Yes, three.
Awkward silence.
Yeah.
They only came in once. They didn't call back for the second show.
Oh.
Yeah, you would have loved the third one we had. There was Jimmy wasn't here, and it was they were doing Rent. And so I led in the group, and Wes sat here and had his jaw hit the ground. I was leading the Twink Pride Parade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had to have a little dribble rag.
And then something for his mouth as well.
Stage door. Stage door from the group in Pasadena, right?
Yes, in fact, I was there this evening
with
Devin. We went to the theater in the mall in Pasadena.
Ew. I've catered an event at that mall.
Ooh.
My condolences.
2,000 cookies or something.
Gee, it's
and what did you see?
One of the final performances of Little Shop of Horrors.
Ooh.
I love that movie, that theater production.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, it's a little different than the movie.
It would have to be.
The performers are great. I mean, it was a really great production. According to Dario and Mark, had some people who have gone and seen Little Shop performed on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Have seen it performed on the West End in London.
Mm-hmm.
And they like this performance better than those performances.
Wow.
It's an intimate setting. Only problem I had is that one of the stages of the plant, because they had these big dots on it, it looked like a fish. And so it took a little while getting past that, but it
was a fish.
Yeah.
Well, it was named Audrey.
Yeah. Well. But it was.
Yeah. Audrey with a male voice.
I knew he was going to go there.
But one of the neat things with it is, at the end they put a little extra performance into it where some of the cast members come up into the audience and are performing directly to the audience, which was twisted because I was sitting in the center. Almost in the back of the theater.
Uh-huh.
And this woman came up and asked if she could sit next to me because she had a large group and it would have filled up the rest of the row to my left. And she said, I just want to make sure you're here because I don't want you to feel like I'm on top of you. And I almost went, well, I'd prefer if the guy next to you was on top of me.
Oh.
But I remembered I was in Pasadena, and so I held my tongue.
Imagine that.
There's a first.
Well, can I testify? The guy who was two seats next to me,
he was hot.
There was a couple of nice eye candy there on stage, and
Devin is confirming this. Yeah.
Yes, and found out later that I guess she was the mother of one of the cast members.
Oh,
and so when they ended the performance, he lined up on their row. That's why he told him to get into that row.
Ah.
was also
good thing you didn't grope him.
I had to reach across her, and
yeah,
it would have been awkward.
The twisted thing was, he was playing her son was playing one of the homeless guys in the ensemble.
Uh-huh.
Well, in the second act, I didn't catch on when he came out in a trench coat. She caught on being the mother, going, "What is he wearing?" And I looked at the trench coat and looked underneath it and saw bare legs.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly it just happened during rehearsal. He was standing there and the trench coat opened up. And so they thought, well, wouldn't it be funny if he flashed them? And so he was, you know, with his back to the audience, he flashed one character.
Yeah.
And, you know, she gave him a quarter. And she flashed another person. The person gave him a book. It's like...
A book?
Yeah, that's all she had in her hand.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the back reaching in my pocket for dollar bills. I was about ready to grab a quarter and just throw it on stage. I figured it would have been hilarious for this theater. They would have heard a quarter hitting the floor coming from the audience.
That would have been funny.
And I was back far enough that, you know...
I lopped somebody in the head.
The technical director would have caught me doing it. He would have probably expected it from me.
Yeah, they know you.
But yeah. Watching some of the characters that were very funny over time. It's strange when you've seen the movie and you're expecting those characters on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And Seymour was kind of close to the character that Rick Moranis played.
Yeah.
The dentist was not the way Steve Martin played him.
Oh.
First of all, he's hot.
Oh.
When the dentist is going, say, ah,
uh-huh.
Devin and I are sitting in the back row going, ah. Then when he said spit, and I said, I don't spit.
Yeah.
But
I swallow.
So it was, and the funny thing is also knowing that in a couple of weeks he's going to be playing Dr. Frankenfurter.
Ooh.
You know, 6'9".
6'9"?
Yeah. And in heels,
they say about tall boys.
And in heels, he's going to be playing. He's going to be like 7'5".
Oh my God!
He's going to be able to touch the ceiling.
He said that when
somebody who can do.
They did a kind of a dress rehearsal today. They took pictures for the, I guess, the posters and promotion. He has to duck when he goes through the doorway. When he's in his heels,
like I said, he's going to be able to touch the ceiling.
It's always the tall ones that like to get in drag, you know.
It's
tall ones are the big ones.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, yeah, Mark is doing a little drag in Rocky when he comes in.
Yeah.
But the it's going to be an interesting production of Rocky. They're going to be here the 24th, I believe, from their performance. They're doing Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. Friday and Saturdays is 8 o'clock performances. Sunday is a 3 p.m. performance with a special Halloween performance.
Ooh, at midnight?
Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
That Ooh. One you have to RSVP and get your tickets in advance because the mall will be closed. And so you'll need that to be able to get into the theater.
And that would be on a Saturday night, right?
Saturday night.
So we can't go.
That's Halloween.
I'll be there at the 8 o'clock performance. And I've threatened them I'm going in costume. Not a Rocky Horror costume.
Oh.
Which means he'll show up here in costume. Probably.
Yes.
I just think it would be such twisted promotion to have Rocky and Frankenfurter being chased around the Pasadena Town Square Mall by a couple of fat bearded nuns waving yardsticks.
There you go. That would be, that would work. Okay.
And everyone seems to be interested in that concept, so who knows?
Hmm.
So then we'll get done with that and then come here for God help us, a 5-hour show.
And so the other theater group that was here once.
Center Stage Production.
Yeah, what are they doing? Do you know?
They just started up with the complete works of William Shakespeare.
Wow. In one night?
Yeah, it's a 90-minute performance.
That's a crash course.
Well, kidding.
Wow. A tout brute.
Out damn spot.
I mean, from what I remember from reading about it, it's basically... It's a play about a theater group that decided to combine all the works of William Shakespeare into one production.
Yeah.
Basically get it over and done with.
Okay, that's the way I look at it.
Which is...
Almost like a farce.
Which is done by the world's fastest talking man.
So, I I got to double look back into that. I had to get back from the one person on that. Yeah, so we're doing three theater groups here now.
Yeah. Is that how we got off on this tangent?
Yes.
All of a sudden, you know, the last thing I remember, we're talking about Hawaii. Now I'm there.
We were talking, he was talking about Judy, and then we talked about Judy's pussy.
Oh, okay.
And then we got into the
theater.
Then we
talked about all the people that, Judy brings through here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
There's a method.
There
was segues in between.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another little excerpt, scooters.
I saw a production of Little Shop of Horror that I think was great. The last, when the plant has finally grown up,
yes,
they used one of those genie lifts and made that into, and it actually went out over the audience.
No.
It was an amazing performance.
Wow.
Yeah, it was at the Tulsa City Civic Center.
Woo!
Yeah.
Tulsa's good for something.
Yeah.
They didn't get that fancy, but everyone gave a big applause when the actor who was performing in the plant at the end, when everyone came out for the curtain call.
Yeah,
He stepped out of the plant.
Oh, nice!
And so he was actually standing. He was still standing in the plant, and then they sung another refrain.
And then he pulled out.
They didn't pull out till the very end.
Well, that's the way I expect them to do. Yeah.
I mean, it was
only you, Jimmy. Only you,
Jimmy. Head cold and all, and you still got snap.
But they even had a character in drag, so I had to comment this. Do you guys always have a drag character?
Hmm.
And Dario couldn't think of a show they hadn't had it.
Really?
But then Zach remembered they didn't have a drag queen in Laramie Project.
No, that's true.
And another a couple other.
That would be tacky.
They had somebody in drag in the Charlie Brown's one?
I guess that's. Okay, that's two. Charlie Brown. Yeah, I guess, yeah. Nope, they didn't have drag in Charlie Brown. They could have.
Easily.
But actually.
Well, you got Lion.
I'm going to be getting.
Lucy.
Yeah.
She's just Butch.
I was thinking Peppermint Patty.
Peppermint Patty.
She was the lesbian.
No, she's. Yeah, she's
the
lesbian.
She was the more,
I don't remember Peppermint in that. But hopefully there'll be some more details coming up of another repeat performance of Laramie Project.
Ooh, because they did such a fantastic job.
Well, they're talking about wanting to do a kind of a revival of it and then possibly enter it in a contest.
Oh.
So.
Actually, there's a new Laramie Project. Ten years later or something that's been written and about to be performed somewhere. I was reading about that.
We'll have to look at God Hates Fags. He probably has to talk about it there.
I'm sure. Okay, so
anyway,
back to Stephen.
There was my one day I come back. I came in last night.
Yeah,
stayed at mom and dad's last night, and then went to the office, to the shop, and was just checking email, and this really, really hot guy walks in the door this afternoon, right after lunch. I'm like, okay. He was like, well, my pump took a crap. Or something. I was like, well, let's go look at your pump. And I had to butch it up, and I was like, this is great.
Let me check out your pump, Daddy.
So I ended up changing the motor out and rebuilding the pump, and he was like, you sure? And I was like, yeah, that's no problem. After he left, and mom was like, you just did that because you think he was cute.
She has got your number. Busted.
I thought he was cute, too.
Busted by your mom. Ooh.
At least he waited until after he left.
But, a couple years ago, my sister was living in Vegas, and I'd gotten accustomed to checking out guys with my sister, you know, walking down, you know, oh, he's cute. And when my mom agreed, that was a whole new realm of acceptance there.
You weren't quite ready for that.
No. And
you don't often go cruising with your mom.
I guess some people can go cruising with their dad. But
yeah.
Not mine. Although they've both, mom and dad, have tried to set me up with people.
Dad I'm not like, surprised.
No, they're very... Dad was like, we need to go to Olive Garden. Why, Dad?
Yeah.
There's a really cute waiter, and I think he's gay. Thanks, Dad. I'm on Facebook, and I've just gotten accustomed to Farmville. I'm farming like crazy. So I was checking my, I was like, I got 2 hours and I got to go back and harvest my peppers. And Dad was like, you need a man. Like, son,
oh,
you need
my
a man.
God. Your dad said that to you.
Yeah, wow.
So, but you know,
can
with
I
your
write this and have your parents. I mean,
with your job, it must be difficult to form a relationship.
That yeah, right
because
now
because you're going really, all over the place.
Yep, and I mean I'm based in Dallas, mm-hmm. and they're even talking about moving me completely to Atlanta now.
Oh,
so, I don't
that's
know.
A pretty town.
Yeah, and very active gay community.
Yes,
too, so,
yes. I mean, because it's like all the surrounding states. If you're gay, you go to Atlanta. You don't have any other choice,
right? Because your grandparents or parents are in Florida.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm home maybe once a week out of the month or so, and it's slowed down quite a bit now. But during the early part of the year, I was constantly going places and stuff, which was great. I got some frequent flyer miles that are just
there. You go, and you know, it's the type of thing you have to do when you're young, and right. But it sure really hurts.
Takes a toll on a lot.
Yeah,
of,
yeah,
and kind of in limbo, like well. I don't know if I can get in a relationship because I don't know how long I'm going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but, no, it's, yeah, you know, hopefully I can move up the ladder fast and then stable out at about 140 a year and.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah. And then have a little boy at the house or something. Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's how it works, huh?
So just search for you on Craigslist then, right?
Yeah. Right.
House boy wanted.
I've bought a few things off Craigslist, but they were always woodworking tools.
I'm sure he could chisel some wood with that.
I wasn't going to go there.
All my friends say I'm a lesbian.
Well, that is probably
because you're good with your tools.
Uh-huh. That's right. Well, my idea of a good afternoon is spending the day at Home Depot or Lowe's.
See?
Not the mall or Galleria.
I've spent a lot of time at Lowe's recently, oddly enough.
Yeah, you have.
Yes, I have.
Hmm. Were you remodeling?
I am replacing every GD piece of gray plastic handle that's in my apartment. In my kitchen has nothing but these gray plastic things everywhere on the handles and drawer pulls and stuff, and they're all going away.
He moved in next to me.
Yes, I live next door to Jimmy now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the museum used to be? 1609 here, right? West Main?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just down the block.
Okay.
Yeah. I live right next door to him.
Cool. Yeah. I got him out of that.
Oh,
that
thank God.
Upstairs apartment down into a one bedroom.
Downstairs.
Downstairs.
No more climbing Mount Olympus.
There it is.
You're right.
No more climbing Olympus. No more. Oh, and you can. And I've lived there since May, and you can still see my floor.
Wow. Oh, I've taken you home to that place day and night.
Day and night.
Every time I drive by there, I think, Virgin no more.
There's a story.
There's a story
behind
that.
It sounds like one I want to hear.
Well, it has somebody, Lee Longoria, another ex-hatchling.
Yes.
Who was here not long ago.
That's right, really? Because he's heads up the Gamers, G-A-Y-M-E-R-S.
Yeah.
When you were thinking of House Boy, the first thing that came to mind, well, you know, Lee's still in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he may be 20-something, but he still looks like a kid.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
That's the Houston Gamers.
Were you saying something, Chris?
No,
Houston Gamers.
Yeah, the Houston Gamers. The Houston Gamers Club.
Ah.
You can find their info on Facebook.
Ah.
In fact, I think they're getting ready.
To do something?
Yeah, they're getting ready to do something here.
That 24-hour...
Okay, look that up and tell me this story about Lee.
So anyway, we were at Lobo's one night, and it was about 11:55, right at the edge, and he wanted to rent a porno.
Yeah.
And it didn't have a membership, didn't have anything, and we raced in the back and trying to fill out paperwork and all this, and they were like, we're closing. come back tomorrow.
Oh.
And Marlon but you need like, porn, you need porn.
Yeah, that was back before iPhones and internet and really.
Oh, yeah.
So it
we
was
knew
like,
that already by you saying Lobo.
Yeah. Oh, I miss yeah. Lobo.
Me too. Lobo.
That was back when Crossroads was still open.
Wow.
Anyway.
Your age is showing.
So we ended up taking Merlin home, and Merlin was like, I have a few videos if you want to borrow them or have them or something. So we went into Merlin's apartment and ended up coming out with like three trash bags full of tapes.
You're kidding me.
No, just these. He was like, I'm done with these.
Are you kidding? That upstairs loft that... At Lobo's with the $5 tapes?
Yeah.
I had myself a field day up there once upon a time.
So we ended up taking all these, and Lee looks at me and was like, I live with my mom. I can't take these home. So they stayed in my truck because, incidentally, I did have a VCR in my truck at the time. And two TVs and the sound system.
I remember that truck.
That hooked up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember watching a movie in there with you.
That wasn't a porno.
No, that was not a porno.
But yeah,
it'd be interesting
for like,
going down the highway playing a porno and all the truck drivers tooting their
So we would
video,
Lee and I would camp out in a parking lot probably once a month or so, and he would watch his little videos. But one of them was the Virgin No More.
It was a movie called Virgin No More.
And after each scene, there would be this ensemble come in that sang, Virgin No More. And then it would go to the next scene.
Oh, you should have kept that one. You should have kept that
one. It's always good to bring a choir to your DVD.
Yes.
Scary part is you can get that on DVD now.
I'm going to look for that title.
Oh, God, it gives a whole new meaning to cheesy
porn. Yeah, that's cheesy porn is good.
That sounds almost as bad as I don't even think I watched the whole thing of it. It was Roman and Julian.
Romeo
and Julian.
Yeah. Romeo and Julian.
Porn
musical?
Yeah. I don't think I finished.
How could they sing with their mouth full?
You'd be amazed.
I think I know a joke about that, right? Every time I seem to make a punchline, Jimmy's taking a swig.
I know. I gotta stop.
How do you sing with your mouth full? There's a certain movie that's not quite a porn.
Yeah.
Which has somebody singing the national anthem into a certain body part.
Maybe you just hum.
That feels
good.
Oh,
say,
too.
Can you see? We'll never be the same again.
Well, maybe that's how Hum Job got the name. Yeah.
Gives new meaning to skin flute.
Yeah. See?
Woo. Yeah.
Okay. How did we go down this path?
You know that.
And why weren't we there earlier?
Picture of the three military dudes, the one with the pipe, the drum, and the we'll never be the same.
Never. Never.
I vacationed in D.C. and Philadelphia this August.
Really?
It was great. 4 days in D.C. and 2 in Philadelphia. I'm a huge history buff, American history.
I've never been to Philadelphia.
It's really nice. Our property is a little bit of a hike.
Yeah.
I took a taxi.
Hey, Jimmy, you want to hear something funny?
What?
I've never been to Philadelphia either.
You were born in Pennsylvania, weren't you?
Yeah, just outside of Philadelphia.
And you've never been in the city?
No. I have never seen the Liberty...
Wow.
I can't remember seeing the Liberty Bell. I've been to the Philadelphia Zoo. That's about it. I can say with that.
I'm from New York, and I've seen the Liberty Bell.
My 5-year-old nephew has seen the Liberty Bell and put his feet where the Rocky statue. When I left D.C., when I left Philadelphia area, I don't think the Rocky movie had even come out yet. So, I've been here for 30 years.
Yeah.
31 years actually. I've never. My like I said, my niece and my nephew have seen more of Philadelphia than I have, and I lived 30 to 40 miles northwest of it.
Gosh. Well,
I haven't had a good Philly cheesesteak to compare the two.
When I got back from Philly, I forgot completely that the world's largest playable pipe organ is in the Philadelphia Lord and Taylor's.
I did not know that.
It's the Wanamaker in... No, I'm sorry, Macy's.
Why are you staring at me like that, Merlin?
I'm a
you know,
pipe
oddly
organ
enough, for some reason, he said pipe organ, and I was just waiting. That's all.
Oh.
Just waiting.
The largest one is in, I think, Georgia or somewhere. Like a little east coast, but a little south, I think. But it's not all playable. So that's what makes the Wanamaker in Macy's playable, the largest playable. But they have one of, like, Shetland ponies inside pipes, a picture.
Really?
Of the, yeah, these huge pipes.
Wow.
But inside a Macy's store of
all. That's kind of weird. You expect it in a church or something.
Right. But the Wanamaker, the guy who put the... He liked cathedral and liked pipe organs, but he wanted it... more of a in-your-face, wanted it out so the public can see it. And he built shopping centers. He was like, well, I'll just combine the two. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they play it every day.
Wow.
Still. So. Wow. But I was so, I was like, I knew it was there, and why didn't I go?
I remember Washington, D.C., because I was just always amazed at the size of the buildings and the width of the streets. I mean, it's just
because
huge.
I remember when they laid the cornerstones and watched the horse-drawn carriages go down them.
Well, I mean,
How did I know that was coming?
For because it was laid out in those days, and
yeah, well, I mean,
that
George
must
Washington
have been
laid out majority of that city.
That must have been really huge for those days to be that
the progression
that
of knowing,
wide.
I guess, how far out and My first day I was there,
fast.
I took the train to the kind of the center area and popped up out of the ground. I was like a groundhog. Ooh. I went down and zoomed around and popped back up somewhere else. But I took pictures of the Capitol, ate a chili dog on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial watching the sunset on the Capitol. I mean, how more American can you
get? That pretty much is, yeah.
And then David Nordstrom said, you have an hour to eat apple pie.
That's right.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was... It was a great city. It was really nice. Went to... Oh, everywhere. It's, of course, there's just way too much stuff to see in...
The Smithsonian?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, you could spend...
You can't.
A long time.
Yeah.
But I've never seen.
Of course, I had to go to see Julia Child's kitchen, which is now there. I took pictures of every angle around there.
I saw Archie Bunker's chair.
Yep. And that was just after Julia's movie
Archie.
Came out.
Really?
Which is a great movie.
Yes.
Really good. She was an amazing person. Julia Child.
We were at Meryl Streep playing Julia Child.
Yeah.
Who did a very good job with it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw bits and pieces of there because, you know, Channel 8 was beating that corpse there for their last fun drive.
Oh. Yeah.
Watching her, you know, bringing out the old black and white Julia Childs.
Yeah.
Today we're going to make a bouillabaisse. And bring out this god-awful ugly fish and say, you know, it's like... And pulling out a French knife that was duller than nothing. And she's trying to chop through this fish's head. And it's like... Okay.
Faith is not really
nowadays
compatible.
On PBS nowadays, they'd say they'd bring out Martin Yang and show you how to use a Chinese cleaver. Go, whatcha? It's on.
God, Julia Child. Oh, God. I saw some of those Julia Child things when they pulled those out during the last pledge drive. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
She's dead. It's like,
well, hey.
I mean, the twisted part was watching a cooking show. And recognizing enough that when she's turning on the burners, she's pushing a button to turn on the electric coil.
Yeah.
On there. Not a dial. We're talking pushing a button on it.
I grew up with one of those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
push-button stove. Low, medium, high.
Oh, wow. Buttons.
Oh, goodness.
But, you know, the PBS does pull out dead people for their pledge drives. They did a whole thing on Victor Borga.
Yeah. See,
and I really like the one for Roy Orbison.
Yeah.
Yes, but they play it. I hate the part where at the beginning of that thing they say, this only happens once in a lifetime. Yes. Four times a year at every pledge drive.
That's true.
But, you know,
one concert, four times a year.
But, you know, Roy, they probably didn't give the same treatment to Miss Slocum that we gave to her.
No.
7-minute dedication to her pussy.
We did honor her when she died.
Yeah.
That was a great dedication.
You missed that, didn't you?
We found a YouTube video of 7 minutes of the best of
Mrs. stories
of Mrs. Slocum and her pussy.
Yeah.
I love that show. I watch that and Mrs. Bucket.
Yes.
Every Saturday night.
Bouquet.
It's
French.
I think
French. That Slocum Bouquet. Thing is still here in the box.
No, we played that off of YouTube.
Yeah, we played it off the computer.
You're thinking of the B. Arthur Memorial.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Wrong old tired woman. The one with the slightly deeper voice.
Oops.
Oh, well. I'm convinced Roy Orbison would have made a lot more if he was better looking.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, he had a
he
lot of
he was unfortunate
the,
looking.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Yes, but you know what? He really didn't care about his looks.
Do what?
He really didn't care about his looks.
No, he didn't. You're right. But, I mean, he could have been like an Elvis or something. Because a lot of his songs were just real, I mean, hit after hit after hit.
Absolutely.
But he was...
A series of unfortunate events, one of which was his face.
Yeah. Well. Actually, I've got a Roy Orbison and Katie Lang.
Oh, nice.
CD in there.
By the way.
Oh, was that supposed to be a subtle hint?
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I did find that information that you said to look up.
Oh, the Gamers. Houston Gamers?
Yes. They actually have two events coming up. The first one on Saturday, October 17th, starting at 8 a.m., and ending on Sunday, October 18th at 8 a.m.
24 hours.
A 24-hour event. It's a fundraising event for Extra Life 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Gamers from all corners of the globe come together for a 24-hour game video marathon raising money to strike a blow against pediatric cancer.
Oh.
So this is going to be a really, really nice thing to do. So anybody that's interested, definitely let's go and do that. That'd be a great thing to see.
So it's HoustonGamers.com.
Let's see. Hold
what is
They have a website called www.HoustonGamers. That's GAYMERS.com.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's a link to their Facebook page there.
Oh.
I'll take a look here.
You know what's really great about Lee?
What?
He's now old enough to where I can say he's hot and I don't feel like a dirty old man.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Lee in a while.
Their website's coming up. The second event that they've got going on, where to go? Whoops, wrong page. There it is. Is on Friday, October 23rd at 8 p.m. and ending on the 24th at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. Going to be taking place over at Coffee Grounds at 2503 Bagby Street.
Oh, yeah.
It's their Halloween meetup.
That's close to the BRB.
Yeah, it's...
Because BRB is 2400 Brazos, and Bagby is one street over, just down a block. Yeah,
I drive by Coffee Grounds every Saturday coming in here. So, these events are open to anybody to come and attend. You can bring friends and stuff like that. It's nice to RSVP ahead of time. On their Facebook page, you can RSVP to any of their events.
Time marches on.
They've got like 89 people that are friends on their Facebook page, and you can see all the events. Like their Halloween meetup, they got 37 people that
are going to show up.
That look like they're showing up.
Hey,
they have Facebook.
Extra Life, they've got quite a few people showing up for that so far. It looks like about somewhere around.
I refuse to join Facebook. Yeah,
I can't tell how many is coming.
My mother and father are on Facebook.
You're kidding! Yeah.
That's the problem. I'd have to create both a clean Facebook and a dirty Facebook.
I'm getting close to that where some people at work, because my boss knows, my general manager knows, but I don't publicize it at work.
Yeah.
There are some people that it's just better that they don't know.
Yeah. Well, you now, work with good old boys.
Yeah, and a lot of them are construction. It's like,
yeah.
So it's getting to the point where I'm actually thinking, well, can I write that on here? And it's like, man, that's not the whole intent of Facebook.
Well, the thing is, because you know, I know my sisters-in-law have Facebook because they're talking about those damn farms, and the guys in the big men's club talk about their damn farms.
I've got my farm.
And I was just talking about my farm.
Yeah, I know.
I work in Tomball. I'm tired of farms. I see the real damn thing. So, you know, figuring out that having to, you know, this is the clean side, this is the dirty side, because I've gotten to a situation before where I had one that was mainly, I had a live journal that was, I used my private name.
Yes.
A private, a different screen name on there. And because of an article I posted on there that I was a part of, someone did some quick research and
linked the two together.
Linked who I was, and you know, as I'm talking to them, they're saying, "Oh, you live at such and such a place."
Oh boy!
And you know, your apartment building is this old, and that's like, okay,
that's just kind of creepy.
Yeah, that's why I told them. I said, "I don't know whether to be flattered or scared," and I'm choosing the latter.
I remember the very first time we'd just gotten AOL.
Mm-hmm.
It was back. I was a freshman, and that was my one out. After Friday night football games, a band, I came home, took a shower, everybody went to bed, and I got online.
Ooh.
It was chatting online, back and forth, and that was, you know, back when it was the K modem, dial-up, everything. It was slow.
Yeah.
And I was in a chat room, back and forth, and I was probably, you know, a couple months into it and getting a little bit more open and talking and back and forth. And this guy messaged me, so I was just chatting with him, and he was like, "You're Mike Bratson's son." Whoo, close. That freaked me out.
Whoa.
Because, I mean, I was very closeted then. I was like 13, 14 years old, and I went online for weeks after that, just scared to death.
Yeah, I would be too.
And then I never found out who that guy was. He worked with my dad on other construction projects and stuff, and I guess he was gay himself. But, wow.
See,
I mean, he just linked two and two together, and I mean, he didn't even say, "Are you?" He just, "You're Mike Bratson's son." It's like,
Boy.
See, you have to worry about that kind of stuff. I tried chatting with one person, a younger person, and made a comment to him. You know, you need to take off some of your personal information you have out there, because you don't know what somebody would do with that.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, what do you mean?" So I said, "Oh, so your father's name is Mike?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, so how's it like living on such and such a street?" And it didn't catch on to him that I was able to very quickly
find,
because I knew what city he lived in, and he gave me his name, mm-hmm. and just did a quick search.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
yep.
You do realize that anyone could be showing up at your front door telling you,
mm-hmm.
"Hi, I chatted with you online." And he still doesn't catch it.
Still doesn't click.
Still has the full name on.
And a lot of times when you're going, right, yeah, exactly. When you go out for interviews and stuff, a lot of times after the interview, they're hunting online trying to find everything to find out who you really are.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff will haunt you big time.
And like, that's why I used, you know, I've got my one email. I refer to it as my clean and my dirty one.
Hmm.
And but you know, if you search under my name, you do find some stuff with KPFT. The twisted part is you'll find me on outsports.com website, because I gave a report years ago with the Rice University head football coach
who made him
a photo comics. So you know, you'll find links of me on Old Houston Voice. There's an article from the Texas Triangle and the Pink Pistols website that I'm quoted in, outsports.com, Outsmart magazine, all these different ones here.
Yeah, I've been Outsmart a few times.
And then you scroll through some of the other stuff, and then you end up with this other person named Chris Arison, who lives in Pittsburgh area, who draws some really weird art. I keep forgetting. I can contact him now. I think he should be about 21. So it was, you know, it's one of those interesting. Google your own name and just see what happens.
Yeah,
and you know, it'll be like, because that's one thing you have to look at if you're looking for a job. How easily it is for someone to
search your own name.
Yeah, find you. Fortunately, the people at my work don't know how to do that.
Yeah,
even though I showed it to my one coworker who, she likes to make the comment of, you know, she does, you know, if you ask her something about how old she is, she won't say anything. She says, you can't, you know, you can't ask her personal questions.
I gave somebody 7 levels of hell for looking up my real first name online. Hmm. I was like,
we all know what your real first name is, Merlin.
Some of us know your full name.
I have no problem telling people my first name. Just don't call me by that name. And he looked it up and blurted out during a conversation. I almost strangled him.
Well, when this, my coworker made that comment about, you know, not wanting to give out any information like that, I took it as a challenge.
Oh, wow.
And so, just by coincidence, I took up the challenge that she never threw down. And a couple weeks later, I wished her a happy anniversary. And she was like, what? I go, yeah, it's your wedding anniversary is coming up. And she played dumb. She was like, she goes, how do you know that? And I said, it's easy. I was able to tell her, you know, I know your birth date. I know your wedding anniversary. I know your husband's birth date. And she was like, couldn't believe you can find that stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it was easy because I figured for her, it was simple there. I know her full name. And I figured she got married here in the Houston area. So I just searched the wedding records in Houston.
And found all
that. I had to scroll through a couple of different pages. Mm-hmm. And I knew her husband's first name. So I just kind of put those. I had to search under his name, put it together. It's like,
there you go.
Well, we've had this conversation whenever we do roundtable about somebody, you know, doing something online. You know, it's
going to come back and haunt you.
If you don't want people to know, don't put it on a computer.
Yeah,
because anybody can find it.
Speaking of finding things,
yes. What did you find?
I found the Facebook URL for Houston Gamers.
Oh,
tinyurl.com/HoustonGamers. And that's GAYMERS.
That's right, because we kept talking about the fact that Lee doesn't have a tiny URL.
I said that, and he just sat there and said, God, they haven't changed.
Nope. What do you expect?
Just dirtier, older men.
Yeah.
Dirtier? Or just older?
Little column A and a little column B.
Yeah.
So.
Should we play a little music?
Then
I need to start searching for stuff for Roundtable.
Yeah.
Is it that time already?
I don't remember seeing much online, but then again, I wasn't in the mood to really be searching too much.
What are you in the mood for?
Well, in that case, I will definitely have to be checking out, you know, the sticky pages and see what news articles they have up there.
Okay.
So, by request by Jimmy in his subtle, we're going to dedicate this to...
What?
Yeah.
What?
We're going to dedicate this to PBS.
Yes.
To death enough.
Okay.
It took me a little while. I found it in the straight section of your CD collection. He was hanging out next to Cyndi Lauper.
At least he's hanging out.
Well, he's not hanging out too much anymore. Hanging plant, maybe. They can recycle and use it as fertilizer.
Stop. Just play the song, please.
Oh, mercy.
With Katie Lang, this is Roy Orbison, and the song is Crying, if I hit the right button, and it's this one.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. Then I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight when you stopped to say hello.
but it's true, so true. I love you even more than I did before. But darling, what can I do? If you ever find one as faithful as me, as stupid as me. We used to have benefits, but that was the end of it. Since you got your new boyfriend.
are not your children. They are the sons and the daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but they are not from you. And though they are with you, they belong not to you. You can give them your love, but not your thoughts. They have their own thoughts. They have their own thoughts. You can house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in a place of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You can try to be like them, but you cannot make them just like you. Try to be like them, but you cannot make them just like you. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and the daughters of life, longing for itself. They come through you, but they are not from you. And though they are with you, they belong not to you. You can give them your love, but not your thoughts. They have their own thoughts. They have their own thoughts. You can house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in a place of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, no, not even in your dreams. You can try to be like them, but you cannot make them just like you. Try to be like them, but you cannot make them just like you.
Urban.
Marginalized.
Illegitimate.
At risk.
Unwed.
Ghetto.
Primitive.
Civilized.
80% of women in prisons are due to domestic violence. In honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, WHO presents our third annual The Second Chance Conference, themed The Power of Words. Women Healing and Empowering Women is a reentry program addressing the fastest growing population in prisons presently. Women, as well as domestic violence and homelessness, since these issues are interconnected.
WHO is honored to host a screening of the film Pray the Devil Back to Hell, as well as other films tackling the tough issues WHO advocates on behalf of. There will be breakout discussions addressing how the power of words connect to these issues. October 3rd from 11 to 6, with cocktail fundraisers from 7 to 10 following. Where? Houston Institute for Culture, 708-B Telephone Road. For more information, call 713-208-4276 or email boo, that's B-O-O, underscore Peters at yahoo.com. Why?
When you educate a man, you educate an individual.
But when you educate a woman, you educate a nation.
KPFT, Houston.
In keeping with KPFT's mission of bringing the voices of the community to you, here is one of your candidates in the upcoming election for local station board.
This is Dwayne Lark, a candidate for the local board. KPFT has been a purveyor of independent thoughts and ideas for many years in the Houston area, thanks to the continued support of the listeners. And I am a candidate for the local board because I believe in the mission of KPFT. With your support, we can initiate a new era of KPFT's storied history. We can make Pacifica's KPFT a model for independent radio everywhere. Please vote for Dwayne Lark for KPFT board. Thank you for your support, and if I cannot be your first choice, perhaps you'll vote for me second or third or fourth selection. Again, Dwayne Lark, KPFT board, thank you.
That was a statement by Dwayne Lark. For complete candidate statements and more information about all of your candidates for the local station board, please visit kpft.org. This is KPFT Houston.
You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. All right. Okay. Finish up the last little things here on finding some stories for Roundtable.
While we get everybody situated in the other room there.
Yes.
Are you yesing me?
I'm yesing you.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're looking up stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I kind of like some of the stuff he's looking up, but I don't think it's what he's actually looking
up. Yeah, but we're not going to talk about that.
I'm only reading these for the articles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that story before.
Where have I heard that nonsense?
No. That's what I do at work. Have I told anybody that I'm in love with Rachel Maddow?
You've mentioned that.
Yeah, but you can tell she's not a gay man. She couldn't handle poppers on her show Friday.
What?
I'm not sure if I want to know about that.
I know I want to know about that.
She was talking about the how the Republic, how the right wingers, they want to sully the Republican name by calling them Republicans, but the right wingers were celebrating the fact that Chicago lost the 2016 Olympic bid.
Why were they celebrating this?
Because they looked at it as a loss for Obama.
Oh, good Lord.
And so there are, you know, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck.
Oh, Glenn Beck is just crazy. He makes Rush look sane.
I actually watched...
Now that's saying something.
Yes, it is.
I watched one of his shows for about 5 minutes. And, you know, up to a point, I kind of was agreeing with him.
Ooh, boy, that's scary.
And then he took the plunge off the deep end, and I decided I couldn't swim that hard. And but no, him, and then even at some conservative magazines, there was reports of loud cheering when the verdict was read. I mean, not the verdict, the the announcement was made that Chicago was knocked out. There's even clips of, there was some conference going on, and when they announced that, everyone was cheering and whooping and hollering. So she was teasing about this of, you know, celebrating when America loses. And so she had those, it looks like a little wider of paper towel tube.
Yeah.
And you turn the bottom crank on it, and it... spring loaded and it shoots out confetti. So she was having trouble, and they're called poppers.
Oh.
And so she was having trouble running that.
I see.
But we are going to talk about another one of her stories on there that she showed. It was her moment of geek.
Yeah, I like her moments of geek.
And she could not contain herself. She was giggling like a schoolgirl, and she even admitted it, that she was giggling like a schoolgirl in this moment of geek. So we're going to cover that.
Oh, good. Good.
Because that made some other stories on there. Okay, I think I've got enough on. Click one more there.
I really rather have a hard time caring whether the Olympics came to Chicago. I mean, you know, they'd never been to Rio before, so... You know.
They've never been to South America.
They've never been in South America.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
they've never been in South America.
That was President Lula's basic argument of, you know, you've been to North America, you've been to Europe, you've been to Asia, you've been to Oceania. Now's your time to come here.
Hmm.
You know.
And I think that's very
good
fair.
Point. Yeah. Good point.
It's our turn.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot better argument than Madrid's of dragging out the old IOC president going, you know, I don't have many years left, and I'd really like to see it come to Madrid.
That's very personal.
Somebody should have popped up and said, hey, that's why we gave you Barcelona. yeah, we catered to you before. You know, that was your retirement present. We're not giving you a death present. but it was fun. I was talking with my father, who is a little more right-wingish, and he was making comment about, he was in support of Rio before all this, and I said, but wait a minute, don't you know? Their president, he's a socialist. Not the fake socialist of what you keep calling Obama. He's real socialist. You know, it's like, they are? No, I can't talk politics with you today. Can't talk about it. Yeah, they're socialists. He's one of those.
Socialism wins.
Poke the tiger with the pointy stick. Go ahead.
Well, it's one of those fun things of
Hello, Kitty.
Educating. You know, when people don't know the whole story, and that night was a whole bunch of education for my father, because he started asking me about the Houston mayoral race.
Oh boy!
Now the thing is, I'm not in Houston. I don't live in the city limits of Houston. My dad doesn't live in the city limits of Houston, so it's a spectator sport for us.
Okay, same here.
And it just so happens I saw a brief thing on one of the news stations earlier, so I had a little bit of knowledge, and I played it up for what I knew from those people, from covering all the stuff on here. And he started talking about Anise Parker,
mm-hmm.
and saying the fact of how she kind of looks grandmotherly.
She does lately,
and I go, well, she's a special kind of grandmother.
Yeah.
And I just figured he was missing the missing the comment. Then he asked me later on, "Is, you know, are there any candidates that are gay friendly?" I stared at him, and I stared at my mom, and I stared back at him, and he's like, "What?" I go, "Anissa's an out lesbian." I mean, I would figure he would know that because I know some of the stations he's used to listen to, and I remember when Kevin Dorsey got in trouble there for referring to her as a person who consumed
floor coverings.
Floor coverings, yeah. different kind of shag.
Yeah.
And so,
carpet contractor, by the way.
that's an old thing on that. And I explained to him, because I mentioned the fact that, you know, I had met her before a couple of times. It didn't dawn on him about that. And, you know, said, yeah, I've interviewed her, you know, once on the air after, you know, with Sheila Jackson Lee. And
yeah.
He rolled his eyes and I said, well, you know, Sheila heard there was a, you know, there may be a camera, but there was going to definitely be a microphone. So she showed up. Oh, come on, the standard joke is she'll come to the opening of an envelope if you have a camera.
I remember that night. We could not get rid of her.
I remember that night.
Bride night.
Yes. We had people waiting in line to be interviewed,
and
she would not get off.
It was like, honey, you're on the show. You are not the show.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I remember that. I remember that because it killed me because I had walked the parade route. I was dead tired, and then we had some food there. I ate some greasy food, and I was about to get sick. And Jimmy says, here, why don't you interview Anise and Sheila? And it's like, okay, I don't really know these people.
That wasn't the one at South Beach, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. It was. Yeah,
there.
You were there.
And it was like, okay, I really don't know much about these people because I don't live in their district. I don't do anything with them. And
the guy from Queer as Folk was supposed to show up, and he got tired and went back to his hotel room.
Yes. Yeah, that pissed me off.
Uh-huh.
Wait, which one? Wait, here? Robert Gant, I believe.
Yes.
So, I mean, like I said, it was this fun looking at him going, you don't know that much of it?
I was looking forward to that because he was hot.
I mean, you don't know that little bit about the candidates for mayor, that there's an out lesbian? Because he was, you know, he's talking about Republicans and all that, and then he started talking about, you know, the 9/12 party event they had, and, you know, the regular station's not covering it. You know, he was carrying the Fox News banner. I said, okay, I'll make a deal with you. Let's wait till October 11th. Let's see how much coverage Fox News gives to the march going on then.
Yeah.
Let's hear, because he first started saying, you know, a million people showed up. Said, well, actually, you know, 750,000 or so, the official total that even what Fox News had said for the 9/12 event. And, you know, they did cover it, but, you know, they didn't cover it because it was a Fox News special. So they didn't cover it to the extent that Fox News did. So let's see what Fox News does when a million or so queers and others show up in Washington for that event. Let's see Fox News gives...
I'm actually kind of worried about that because a march on Washington really takes about a year to put together. Right. And this has got like 6 months. So it's going to be very loosely organized.
Well, you know what? No offense to this, Jimmy, but we're talking about the last times we did that we had marches in there. Technology was different.
That's true.
The fact of,
because the last one was 93, wasn't it?
Yeah. So the fact is, you can do a lot better organizing now, and some of it even be more face to face through the internet connections rather than you know, trying to get a conference call together to get enough people together. You can get enough people together in a cyber conference room than you could back then.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Seemed to be an awful lot of organizations very late to the game, but showing up, but saying that they're going to be at this thing.
Okay.
I think, well, you get that sort of thing. They kind of say, okay, so a couple of nut jobs out of California say, let's all get together, and they want to see how well this is coming along. And like I said, the interesting thing is going to be see how it's covered and see how, you know, I'm interested to watch some Fox News this next week and see how they're trying to rally the teabaggers into this event. Personally, you know, I want to start what's called, I want to start the percolator movement.
Percolator.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's the opposite of the teabagger. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, your only choice of coffee is either going to be percolator, drip, or French press.
Ooh.
So, you know.
I prefer drip myself.
Yeah, I know. But see, you know, they'll make fun of us if we're calling ourselves drips. And then, you know, put anything French in front of it, they're going to yell at us
anyway.
I don't
know. I see something that drips, I stay away.
Yeah.
But, you know, the percolator.
It depends on what's dripping.
Yeah, a little bit of percolating, you know, popping up.
Jimmy's sinuses mostly this week. That's another.
But other than that, yeah.
Anyhow.
He's used to wiping his face off. It's just not coming.
No.
But, no, I mean.
Anyhow.
So that's the thing I'm looking forward to seeing is what the coverage is. Because I remember the last, the 93 one. Watching it actually covered on C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be interested to see what sort of coverage and what sort of slant.
Well, there have been there has been negativity towards it in the community.
Yeah.
Wayne Beeson wrote an article about it and said, you know, every generation has had their chance to go to Washington for the march, and why stop this generation from doing it, you know?
Well, see, the bad part is this. We didn't think we were going to have to be doing this.
I know.
We were given sunshine and roses by the Obama administration. Saying, we'll even create a logo that combines GLBT with Obama. We love you. We support you. Get me elected, and the world is your oyster.
All politicians, really.
I've made this comment before. I said this one of the great things you can say that Barack Obama has done is shown that it doesn't matter if you're black or white in the White House, you're going to screw over the gays.
Well, I like to think that there are two items of more importance than gay issues for him to tackle. One is the economy, and the other is the war. Mm. And plus, health insurance. You know, those three.
He was handed a.
Kind of take over a lot of your time. And I can see down the road that he'll get to us. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
I really think that we gave him. We put way too much on the shoulders of one man. I mean, we gave him this huge buildup as the first black, you know, candidate, the first, and listening to him talk gave all kinds of inspiration to all kinds of people. But when you get in there, I mean,
he's got a lot of
stuff he has to do, and he hasn't been in there a year yet.
I know.
And, you know.
But the fact is we're seeing these.
And it's really, you know, I mean, you get. It's so, you know, on one point, yes, you want him to do this, this, and this, and you want him to. Want him to do it yesterday, and you want him to do it right. And you want him to do right by all of us, including the gay community. But when you're. You're one person knocking heads with Congress.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
yeah,
they
your own party.
And they can't get their stuff together.
I mean, the Congress is, like I said last week, I said, I'm hoping that the insurance plan that the Democrats have for themselves in there includes testicular implants.
Because they all need to grow a pair.
I mean, they're catering to what the Republicans want, and it's like,
which is nothing.
The Baucus bill was written practically. You know, I think it was ghostwritten by the insurance company, and you're not talking about a public option.
No,
you're not talking about things that are to really help people. And it's like this is, you know, what I would love to see what they can do is just walk in and say, okay, you know what. This is the Edward Kennedy Memorial Healthcare Bill. Put it through.
Yeah.
There's the votes to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the people in the Senate, you know, don't try and get all the blue dogs. Just say, look, all we want you to do is vote the party line to invoke cloture. So you have the 60 votes to shut down debate and say, well, okay, we'll debate it for this amount of time. There's going to be no filibustering. And put it to a vote. And if you, and all then you need is the threshold is 51.
Well.
Or 50, actually. But they're not doing that. They're trying to do this big tent.
That's not going to happen. No Republican president has ever presented universal health care.
No.
They do not want it. They are not going to be for it, no matter what. So just wipe them out and go with what you got.
And, you know, you think you would have learned with the stimulus bill where they said, you know, if you do this, you do this, we can probably get you some Republican votes. Yeah. And he did that and did that, and
it did nothing.
So I say just walk in, you know, it's time. Well, go the nuclear option.
The thing of it is, he's got two strikes against him when it comes to Republicans. He's a Democrat, and he's black. And they want, the Republicans want the first black president to fail.
Yeah.
That's why, we were just talking about it, cheering that Chicago didn't get it.
The RNC...
They would have never done that under any other circumstance.
No. The RNC put out a... Because October is also Hispanic History Month.
Mm-hmm.
They put out a commercial or a DVD or something or commemorating great Hispanics. Sonia Sotomayor was not listed in there. The first Hispanic member of the Supreme Court.
Imagine that.
Even Republican Mel Martinez... He was a Republican congressman from Florida. Wasn't mentioned.
That's fine. The Latino vote is huge in this country.
Yes.
And if they want to spite themselves and lose that vote, that's fine with me.
Just for the record, the Latino minority isn't a minority anymore.
That's right.
There's more them than there are folks, white folks, Anglo now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Wes.
I got a quick question for you. For everybody in the room.
Okay, you got a quick E.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting question.
Okay.
One that was posed to me this week, actually, since we're on this topic, is who in this room would like to get a job where when you're done with that job, be you retire or you finally quit, that you still get paid your wage for the rest of your life? And then you don't have to worry about what anybody says about you anymore.
Wow.
Who wants that job?
Who wouldn't?
Who wants that job? Raise your hand if
you want that job. Yeah, I want it.
Making $400,000 a year.
I want it, all of it.
As long as my former address isn't 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Exactly. That's all right.
You don't have to go that far.
Okay. You want to know? Okay. If you want that job, run for Congress.
Mm. Yeah.
That's right.
Because I heard someone saying they pay $500 a year for their medical coverage. And that includes a doctor on call in a special clinic in the Capitol building.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And in that clinic in the Capitol building, they can do x-rays. They can do blood work. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're paying $500 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for that. And also this, you know, you get that coverage as soon as you raise your hand and take the oath.
Yeah. And also, you also get the power to vote for your own raise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it comes next year. You don't... If they vote now, they don't get it immediately. When the next session takes action, that's when it is. Because that's actually the 27th Amendment to the Constitution.
Which will still cover most of the same people, since we seem to be really bad at voting people out of office.
Well, the interesting thing is, it's the 27th Amendment to the Constitution, but it was one of the original 15 that didn't get ratified by enough.
Yep.
And somebody noticed that, this law's on the books, so enough of the state legislatures voted it in. And then the Congress was like, well, I guess we better do that as well, you know, and re-ratified it.
Mm.
So that is the most recent amendment to the Constitution, but it's one of the original ones that you just basically can't give yourself a pay raise. It comes in the next cycle. Because the thing that I'd like to see about is Shelley Sekula Gibbs, who replaced Tom DeLay for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was voted in on the special election to fill his seat, and then somebody was voted, a different person was elected for the next term.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see if not only during that time did she get the congressional health benefits, and but does she retain them?
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's,
I don't know.
It's a good question.
Don't know.
And that's the thing is that you know, usually you have to wait six months when you start a job. If you're lucky that you're getting benefits, and you know, it sounds like the Congress, you know, they raise your right hand, and as soon as you say "I do,"
you're in.
If you break your arm lowering it after the oath of office,
You're covered. For $500 a year.
Yeah.
And my hospitalization is $1,000 a month.
Just as a side note. Who the hell thought it was a good idea to have Tom DeLay on Dancing with the Stars?
Go.
Mm. See, that must be proof of why he doesn't have the health. He doesn't have the health insurance because he hasn't been taken care of yet.
$500 a year, and I pay a little over $200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm running into that situation with going down to a community health services clinic now to get medical checkups done, and you know I'm. Mm-hmm. I keep using the phrase there. I'm not looking for a handout. I'm looking for, you know, a hand.
Yeah.
And you know it's
KPFT.
It's something that bothers me that we're at that point in still in our nation's history that mm-hmm. you know someone can work a full time job and can't get that kind of assistance that you need.
Yeah.
On that, so.
Well, okay. What's next?
All right. Let's go to some better stuff. Let's. We'll save the traditional bestiality till the end.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, save that for Mary when she comes in.
This is
she loves to hear those.
Sure.
With the Zarico Pasale show.
Judge rules gay couple can divorce in Texas.
Hey,
yeah, I heard about that. Wait,
Despite a constitutional amendment put in place by the voters in the Texas Family Code, which prohibits same-sex marriage or civil unions, Dallas State District Judge Tina Callahan ruled that a gay couple can divorce in the state, and that, quote, the state prohibition of same-sex marriage violates the federal constitutional rights of equal protection.
Whoa, boy, did she open a can of worms.
And she overturned another judge's saying that, no, you can't get divorced.
Ooh.
Yeah. The men married in Cambridge, Massachusetts in September 06 and were later returned to Dallas.
Where the corollary of you can get divorced is you can get married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was the thing as we were saying is because they...
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not legally married.
It's only a matter of time anyway.
Yeah, it is.
JB, citing discord or conflict of personality, sued in January to dissolve the union, in which is believed to be the first such action in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
My client is ready to get on with his life. We're ready to roll. If the ruling were to stand, it would break from the recent decisions elsewhere. Uh-huh. An Indiana judge last month denied the divorce of two women married in Canada, concluding it would violate Indiana law. And 2 years earlier, Rhode Island State Supreme Court rejected the divorce of a lesbian couple married in Massachusetts.
Hmm.
In March 2003, a Texas court became the first one outside Vermont to grant the dissolution of a civil union. The judge reversed his decision after a challenge by Greg Abbott, Republican Texas Attorney General.
Hmm.
The Attorney General and Governor Goodhair expressed wingnut angst over the decision.
The hawk wouldn't rot his brain.
Yeah.
Said Abbott. Hey, Abbott. The laws and constitution of the state of Texas define marriage as an institution involving one man and one woman. Today's ruling purports to strike down that constitutional definition despite the fact it was recently adopted by 75% of the Texas voters.
Yeah, what do they know?
Governor Goodhair said Texas voters and lawmakers have repeatedly affirmed the view that marriage is defined as between one man and one woman. I believe the ruling is flawed and should be appealed.
Just for... And I repeat... When civil rights were granted back in the 60s in the black
63
in 63 somewhere in the neighborhood I wasn't born yet so something to the effect. Something akin to 67% of the country was against the idea.
That's right. That's right.
There are times, I'm sorry to say this, I would love...
Go against the grain. For yeah.
Sometimes you must go against the grain.
Yeah.
Which is
better society.
Which is why Johnson only had one term.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you want to put it into a modern term of, even though I love hypocrisy, you're saying, okay, 75% of the state of Texas says marriage is one man, one woman. Well, across the country, 60 to 65% of the people say we want universal health care, and no one's talking about giving us that.
Yeah.
So if you're going to listen to the people, in the real world, you shouldn't have it both ways, but we're talking about politics and hypocrisy and God, I love hypocrisy. It is tasty and it's low-cal. It's just... Yeah.
There's another good example of... we were talking about the James Byrd Jr. hate crimes bill earlier. And when Bush was governor of the state of Texas, they presented it to him numerous times. And he said, take the gays out of it, I'll sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't do it. As soon as Governor Goodhair got in it, he signed it. With the gays included.
Amazing.
And then the Republicans got to him, and then he turned into what he is now. But, I mean, that just shows that the power of, hey, do you want to be reelected? You're going to be like we want you to be.
Yep. Hey.
Sometimes I think it's sad because I think we need to get to a point where politicians are much more concerned with doing good for the time they are there
than getting reelected.
So as soon as they're in, then they're worrying about 2 years when they're going to be reelected.
Yep.
Which leads to a whole conversation.
Which colors about everything they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, which leads to a whole conversation about how long our terms are in Congress. I mean, if you're spending half of the term, running for your re-election, I mean, that's just screw it.
That was the whole point of the Senate being 4 years, so they get elected and they can get on to something else. But
and part of the reason why they're saying that President Obama is doing so much right now is because, after the midterm elections, he's going to be working on his re-election.
Mm. Yeah.
And so it's... This is strange. The GLAAD website is down. I've saved it for another time. They've come out with a report of where we are on TV. Of GLAAD estimates that the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender scripted characters represents 3% of all scripted series regulars. This is based off of ABC, CBS, CW, Fox, and NBC. And for their website seems to be down. I can't click on it there. I already know their number is already down because one of the series has been canceled, The Beautiful Life.
Okay, never heard of that.
It was an Ashton Kutcher series.
He created hot too.
Florida court throws out a case of a lesbian ban from seeing a dying partner. A lesbian who was banned by a hospital from visiting her dying partner had her case thrown out of court. Janice Laban sued Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami for not allowing her to see her partner, Lisa Pond. Pond suffered a fatal brain aneurysm, and they said a social worker would not let her see her partner who died alone the next day.
Aww.
The couple, which had adopted three children, were on holiday at a gay-friendly Caribbean cruise when Pond became ill. Laban and her children were not allowed to be with Pond in her final hours, and hospital officials allegedly told Laban that she was in an anti-gay city and state. After waiting 8 hours, she was eventually allowed to see Pond for 5 minutes as the priest performed last rites. Lambda Legal filed a lawsuit, which was thrown out of court. The U.S. District Court for Southern District of Florida ruled that the case should be dismissed because the hospital has no obligation to allow visitors to see patients. It also ruled there was no obligation to provide patients' families, healthcare surrogates, or visitors with access to patients in their trauma center. The court has given them till October 16th to review the ruling and consider all legal options. So basically they're saying, according to their article of what the hospital, or what the court's saying, is it doesn't matter if there was a lesbian couple. They don't have to be nice enough to let you say goodbye to your loved one.
No matter who you are.
No matter who you are.
Nice.
Mm.
That that's just...
Well, if she was in the trauma center, that's one thing. But assuming that, you know, they already knew she was going to die and they had already called the priest for last rites, I'm assuming she wasn't still in the trauma center. So
there would have to have been a point where they decided there's nothing that can be done.
Exactly. They would have moved her to a regular room, and then they should have let her, you know...
Say goodbye.
Exactly. But... Now, I can see if she was still in the trauma center, because they were still working, they were trying to find everything that they could do, but if they had already called a priest...
It's over with.
Yeah, she wouldn't have been in the trauma center at that point. So that's an entirely different story than what they're making it sound like it was.
Yeah.
Of course, they called a priest on me when I was born, but that's...
I'm sure they did the same for me, we're not Catholic.
I'm still here.
But just you broke every mold.
41 years later, I'm still here.
It just means that you got a head start on that dying thing.
They gave me last rites the week the day I was born.
So you're ready, set to go?
Yeah, there you go.
You still don't listen to our priest, do you?
Yeah.
From England, a gay man who was fired after 6 years of volunteering at a Christian radio station lost his job because he revealed his sexuality. Ian Carrington, who describes himself as a Christian, had volunteered at Refresh FM in Manchester, England, as a producer and radio presenter since 2003. The station, it's run by Victoria Park Fellowship, an evangelical church in the city, and broadcasts for 28 days a year. Boy, their transmitter must really suck. Carrington told Pink News that he knew there could be some controversy over his decision to come out, but he wanted to be honest about his situation. He came out to friends in 93 or 94, and then publicly in 98. It's not something I necessarily am naive about, even though I've been through it before. I was growing increasingly uncomfortable and needed to keep my integrity. I said, I realize I may have a problem with this, but I'm gay. He was told by a steering committee of the radio station he could no longer be a presenter because of being a, quote, practicing homosexual.
Wow.
And it meant that he was, quote, living in a state of active sin.
Their brother.
Depends. He could have been passive sin. You know, depends if you're top or bottom. Got a chuckle out of Jimmy on that one.
Which one is passive in that sense?
The bottom. Know,
could have been
you're receiving
a power bottom.
Well,
actively passive.
I guess that's true.
I guess it could be actively passive. You know, we'll save that one for next week's show.
Yeah.
The committee told him that the church could face difficulties in raising funds if audiences were offended by his sexuality. He said he felt his colleagues at the station and friends were at a loss of his volunteer job. It's devastating and hurtful. Carrington worked on a shift pattern for 1 month, for each of the 6 years he was employed, and was required to give an hour's notice if he was unable to come in for his shift. Maybe I was naive or blindly optimistic, but my view is that God loves me. People do change their views, but I'm not a theologian. I can't change the station's views, but they need to know that beliefs have consequences. It's pointless.
Better late than never.
Yeah. It's pointless, it's cruel, and Jesus wouldn't do it.
Okay.
That's right.
He used a word in what he said, the guy who... He wanted to keep his what?
Integrity.
Integrity. Great. He keeps his integrity, and the Christian folks lose theirs. Wow. There's a
first.
Well, there's also the Jesus wouldn't do that. I just want to propose that question again. If Jesus loves everyone, why don't the Christians?
True. They're too busy loving themselves, that's why.
Well, yeah, they're, you know...
This is a general observation, not a specific one.
Well, you know, so, we've said on here before, if you, when you look at the Bible, you know, the parts of the Bible that talk about being gay is bad is the Old Testament and those letters from Paul. Paul never walked with Jesus. He's the 13th apostle.
He's the guy that got struck down on his way to prosecute some Christians and said, "Oh, I get it now."
Yeah. He was when he met Jesus. He met the ghost of Jesus, allegedly, and he was Saul at the time.
And he was a Jewish prosecutor.
So you
basically
know,
a Christian hunter.
So, I mean, with what he is, you know, with the part of, you know, not walking with Jesus, he doesn't know what Jesus said. So he just went by what his God, which is the God of the Old Testament, the God of Leviticus, who struck down everybody, the, you know, angry, spiteful God, not the God of love and compassion, you know. And I, you know, I can never figure it out, because when you look at what Jesus, you know, Jesus had no job. He hung around with 12 other guys and a whore.
And
going from town to town. But the Republicans have embraced him?
Yes.
He's a hippie.
He was a hippie.
He was a hippie.
Yep.
And I don't think he looked exactly like that California surfer dude that we keep saying he looks like.
Yeah, yeah. No.
No, that was a...
Because, you know, I've seen people from that part of the world. None of them look like that.
There's a little sunburn.
Yeah. It just never ceases to amaze me that some of the most un-Christian people I know call themselves Christian.
Mm-hmm. Another state has introduced a gay marriage bill. Illinois State Senator Heather Steens introduced the legislature's first marriage equality bill on Thursday. Called the Equal Marriage Act, the bill was assigned the cheer-friendly number of 2468. Who wrote this crap? Oh, it's the Advocate.
No wonder.
Here's the first step to advance the basic freedom in our world, the right that we should have our be able to define our own family, says Steens, a Democrat from Chicago. Did I just say Chicago?
Chicago.
At the press conference announcing the bill's introduction, Steens was joined by openly gay Illinois State Representative Greg Harris, who introduced marriage equality and civil union bills in the House this year. While the marriage bill died in committee, the civil unions measure appeared to gain some momentum, according to the blog Progress Illinois. Harris plans to reintroduce the civil unions measure into the forthcoming veto session. So another state we'll be able to go to, maybe eventually, sometime next millennium. Mm-hmm.
For 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm. Screw this. I'm going to Canada.
Just go to Iowa.
Screw it. I'm going over to Europe.
No, in Canada I can get, like, you know, socialized medicine.
Oh, my
Maryland,
God.
Maryland you can, too. Isn't it Maryland? It's one of the states. They have
one of the Commonwealth states.
Of course.
I can't believe they're using this argument.
Oh?
I've kind of joked about this argument of use of terms. And according to, from the Advocate, the Vatican, I hate these stupid things. Go away.
The Pope is looking bad.
Pope Palpatine.
Like, health?
There.
Health-wise, okay. Yeah.
The Vatican really suggested that, you're going to love this, especially if you're an entomologist. The Vatican has suggested that instances of sexual abuse of minors by Catholic priests would be more accurately described as aphibophilia, attraction to mid to late adolescence, rather than pedophilia.
Tell that to the 7 and 8 year olds.
Mm-hmm. Archbishop Salvino Tomesi, the Vatican's permanent observer to the United Nations, argued for the change in terminology in a statement following a meeting of the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva.
Geneva.
Of all priests involved in the abuses... They've done studies on this. Of all the priests involved in the abuses, 80 to 90% belong to the sexual orientation minority, which is sexually engaged with adolescent boys between the ages of 11 and 17, said Tomasi, according to the London's Guardian newspaper. In the statement, Tomasi is also attempted to deflect criticism of the Vatican's handling of sexual abuse scandals by pointing the finger at other church bodies. Thomas cited statistics that argue that no more than 5% of the Catholic clergy are involved in
sexual... Too many bodies.
He cited statistics that argue that no more than 5% of the Catholic clergy were involved in sexual abuse, claiming the majority of American churches struggling with abuse allegations were Protestant.
Okay. Why do we need...
He actually went there. Wow.
Okay, I have a question.
Wow.
Why do we even need a separate name? It's still statutory rape and non-consensual sex.
Well, what it is, it's still illegal. It's
exactly.
No, no. What it comes from is the fact of when, and I've thought through this argument sadly enough in my mind. The term pedophilia has such a strong connotation to it of what you're seeing. And the actual root pedo is the same root as you see in pediatrician, yes, which is prepubescent. So basically, if you have an instance where you have, a 16-year-old alleged victim who actually completely consented to this act,
well,
but under the law, legally could not, but they did enact indeed of consent to
but
it.
Last well, I checked,
they would be referred to, this case would be referred to as pedophilia, which can give a negative connotation to, say, jury members in that of, that, you know, you're saying pedophilia. This is not a 16-year-old.
Yeah, but if you want to get into the semantics of the whole argument, ephebophilia is clearly defined as 15 to 19.
Well, I think some of the root was mainly like post-pubescence is what I think they're going through here, and that post, and that because puberty is happening earlier now by either natural selection or too many hormones in our cows getting in the milk, that the puberty is occurring earlier and earlier on that. But like I said, it's strange to, and like I said, since I discovered that word, I thought of that, and it's like now the Vatican doctrine is, don't call us pedophiles, we're not a pedophile, we're an amphibophile.
Well, that yeah,
that, because that makes that so much better.
The actual age that someone may or may not, or well, that they may enter puberty does not necessarily define what their mental state is.
True.
Yeah.
And to me, that's where, now, if someone has sex with a 16-year-old and it's consensual, yes, that may be considered statutory rape. And that person should not be labeled a pedophile because this person is not a child and the sex was consensual. But I don't see giving a separate name. To me, it doesn't necessarily need a name.
Well, it's because of the connotation, the negative thing.
Well,
yeah, and that's what they're trying to do is, you know, make it sound.
Well, yeah, I understand. They're giving it a different name so that it doesn't sound bad in cases where, you know, it was not a child.
Yeah.
Good question was brought up to me the other, I guess not a question, but just, why do they have website after website databases on people, sex offenders, but they don't on murderers? I would like to know if a murderer moved in next to me more than someone that was 18 had sex with a 16-year-old.
I think because more people are going to consider the fact that if you're a murderer, you're going to be in jail, or if you're in Texas, you'd be executed. And
true.
There shouldn't be that many
coming out
and released. Unfortunately, history does show different, where, you know.
Or, I mean, robbery or aggravated. There's a whole bunch of.
It's
there's a whole lot of, you know, there's 100 different definitions of.
Yep.
Of ways somebody ended up dead. You know, I mean, manslaughter and murder and homicide and, you know, all these different. And it's. And you know, there's a whole bunch of people out there who will make no more distinction in those titles. Somebody ended up dead and somebody else did the killing.
Yeah.
You know? But with. And yet they think of that as so much different than somebody did this to a kid, and it's, you know, and you know, and then all of a sudden that person is like, nobody wants to be within 1,000 feet of that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doesn't matter that this other person, you know, ended somebody's life.
Yeah.
Here's a little military story for Wes here. A gay U.S. Air Force officer was forced to reveal his sexuality in order to clear himself of a false rape allegation, the initial which cost him his job. According to the Associated Press, Lieutenant Colonel Victor Fehrenbach was discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell last year, but is now using his story to highlight the injustices suffered by those fired under the law. In 2008, he was questioned by police over an alleged rape of an acquaintance, although his accuser, Cameron Schoener, was later discredited and be found, quote, an unreliable source of information. Fehrenbach had to admit the pair had engaged in some consensual sex at his home after meeting on a gay website. Police found no evidence of the alleged rape. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say it's Cameron Schoener? Did I say Carmen?
Yeah.
You said Cameron the
Cameron.
First time.
Okay. Yeah. Although he was soon cleared, the Air Force had the legal right to see that the statement, which he admitted having consensual gay sex, was, and he was notified last year he would be discharged. A lawyer for the servicemen's members' legal defense fund said because of the criminal allegation, Victor confirmed the fact he was gay. That was all the Air Force needed. Had his accuser been a woman, if he had gone back to work with no further issue. So, guy was accused of rape.
Mm-hmm.
And then to clear himself from the rape, he had to admit he was gay. Yeah,
and get kicked out of the military anyhow.
Yes.
Because he... Don't you love the way the system works?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
makes your head want to explode.
Yeah, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was kind of a double-edged sword.
Uh-huh.
On one side, it was a good thing because it was supposed to, and I say that with huge quotation marks,
yeah,
stop witch hunts. And all it did was put the witch hunts underground. Yeah. The other side of the sword is just like it shows here in this article. They can turn around and just use it to lob your head off, and mm-hmm. you lose. For like this gentleman here, from what I saw in the article, was 2 years from retirement.
It's like,
so
it's great. You can't possibly have committed the rape, but hey, we're gonna kick you out anyhow.
Yeah. I mean, it what's really crappy about it is I had a friend back when I was probably about 2 years into my service time.
Mm.
Actually, less than that. About a year and a half. I had a friend who transferred from where I was at to a ship, and he got raped by a guy. And he didn't even identify himself as being gay.
Mm-hmm.
But because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he still lost his job. They still discharged him, as well as discharged the guy that raped him.
Oh.
So, it's kind of a really screwed up system.
Wow.
Okay, a little cutesy thing here. American Vice, mapping the 7 deadly sins. We're gluttons for infographics, and a team at Kansas State just served up a feast. Maps of sin created by plotting per capita stats on things like theft, which results in envy, and STDs, which is lust. Christian clergy likely noting that the Bible Belt status as Wrath Central questioned the science. Valid point, or maybe it's just pride talking. They've got here 7 maps of the United States, and on a scale from saintly to devilish, Houston is definitely devilish when it comes to greed. Average income compared with the number of people living below the poverty line.
Enron? Yeah. That's sad.
Enron.
I think instead of 666, we're probably at about 500 on envy, which is total thefts of robbery, burglary, larceny, and grand theft auto per capita. Surprisingly, we are quite low on wrath. We're quite saintly on number of violent crimes, murder, assault, rape per capita.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.
Compared with employment. This one I can't understand. Gluttony, we are saintly. Number of fast food restaurants per capita. Now, considering the fact Houston was called the fattest city in America for like 4 years in a row, which is based off of number of restaurants,
mm-hmm.
Lack of walking paths and trails and all that, it looks like the closest place of hell of that is...
looks like around San Antonio.
It looks a little further west than San Antonio. Is that El Paso? It's Warren. We're a little, we're Texas kind of has that double dip,
right?
Okay, in the top part of that double dip, it's all 666 there, and
and there's hardly anything in that
Southeast
area.
Virginia and Now, this,
like five people live in that part of the state.
What is, and they're apparently all bad.
And, yeah.
And a little side note on this part. I saw this little tidbit of information last week. The furthest distance it would take for you to drive from one McDonald's to another McDonald's in the United States, 145 miles. And that's up in South Dakota.
Wow.
That's the furthest you'd have to drive to get a Big Mac attack after successfully completing a Big Mac attack.
Well, wait, that's driving from one to the other.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So half that distance is the furthest that you would have to drive, depending on where you are.
Well, no, they're saying it's the furthest distance between the two closest.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So the maximum distance that anyone is from a McDonald's is...
Yeah, well, they said it from one McDonald's to another McDonald's. Yeah. That's what they... I know what you're saying.
And in the city of Houston, it's probably about two blocks.
Actually, you know, there's...
Not in this area.
There's only the one McDonald's right...
Now, Starbucks.
Hey, while we're on that topic...
Remember, the end of the world will be occurring in 2012. Everyone go to the intersection of West Gray and...
There's three. West Gray and Shepherd.
It is no longer the end of the universe. It is now officially the portal to hell, because it is no longer just the end of the universe. It is the portal to hell because there is a new bookstore on that corner. And in that bookstore, ladies and gentlemen.
Starbucks.
And that's what Lewis Black was saying. It was the end of the universe when there were two. And now they tried to put what he said on his Facebook about being, when he was told there was three of them. And it's unprintable and unsayable on the air.
It's the end of the multiverse.
Yes. We got the Starbucks across from the Starbucks, next door to the Starbucks.
Next door to the Starbucks. Furthest you have to go from one Starbucks to another,
about 50 feet.
50 feet.
I think there's like one McDonald's per neighborhood in Houston.
Yeah.
Lust.
Up in my neck of the woods. There's probably about four real close to each other.
Lust. The number of STDs cases reported per capita, Houston, saintly.
Wow.
South Florida, saintly too. That surprises me.
Yeah, Louisiana, hell. Mississippi, hell. Alabama, pretty much all hell. South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia along the coast.
What it is, get your cousin pregnant.
Okay, with a lot of those you just listed, the only thing that comes to mind,
pride, the aggregate of the other six offenses, because pride is the root of all sin. Houston, again, is saintly. South Florida, South.
I hate you.
I do.
South part of Georgia, South Carolina, all of them are too prideful.
They're also all over 80. What do you?
And our final story, as I promised.
Oh.
This made Rachel Maddow's moment of geek, and once again we have to talk about British people and bestiality.
Whee!
British actor Stephen Fry and zoologist Mark Cardwine traveled to New Zealand to find a rare parrot on the verge of extinction. It's one of the few left of its kind, and it's very horny. While filming a close-up of this bird that puffs himself up when in the mood to mate, he started climbing up the zoologist's arm. Climbed onto his back and sat on his shoulders. And proceeded to hump the back of his neck. And so the bird is pelvic thrusting the back of his head, and his wings are flapping and smacking him in the face.
Like saying, who's your daddy, who's your daddy?
Basically. And finally, because his claws were digging into his neck, the actor, Stephen Fry, had to finally pull the bird off of him. And
I've seen this before.
Like I said, you can go to Rachel Maddow's website, you can go to Tola Road, you can find it. It's also on YouTube. Under the quote, you're being shagged by a rare parrot. Because that's the term that Stephen Fry used. While describing it, and they showed a close-up then of the guy's neck with a little bit of blood from where the parrot's claws were digging into him, and apparently some other matter.
Right.
And right. So the Stephen did ask for the you know, when the baby is born, that it be named after him.
Oh, wow.
Now, the twisted part of that is, you have to remember, Stephen Fry did play Oscar Wilde.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he did.
So,
yeah.
A very twisted sight we're seeing there. So, and considering the fact that, you know, the camera, the zoologist and the bird were male, so that was homosexual bestiality. At its finest, like I said, when Rachel was playing that, she even admitted she was giggling like a sixth grader. It was just hilarious. So check out the pictures there. You can also find it if you go to bbc.co.uk. I forget what the name of the show is that it was on there. It's a British animal show they have on there. So we're coming up at the top of the hour. Coming up at the end here is Zydeco Pasale. Yep. They're here.
Yay.
We'll be back next week. Hope to see you here. This is KPFT Houston. Yeah, shut them off. You can send us email at afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail is afterhours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. This is the time now for your PSAs. See you later.
In keeping with KPFT's mission of bringing the voices of the community to you, here is one of your candidates in the upcoming election for local station board.
Hi, I'm Wesley Bethune, the tough, smart candidate for your local station board. I'll fight for you to bring more education-based programming to your airwaves. I'll hammer the corporate suck-ups and right-wing ideologues who would like to turn your station into a 24-hour-a-day jukebox. Nonviolent, of course. After all, we are Pacificans. But seriously, 30 seconds isn't enough time to tell you. Go to the website and listen to my entire opinion of what's going on and what we need to do. Bye.
That was a statement by Wesley Bethune. For complete candidate statements and more information about all of your candidates for the local station board, please visit kpft.org. The future of KPFT and the entire Pacifica network now rests upon the participation of our listener members. It depends upon your vote. Let your voice be heard with your vote. This is KPFT Houston.
Urban.
Marginalized.
Illegitimate.
At risk.
Unwed.
Ghetto.
Primitive.
Civilized.
80% of women in prisons are due to domestic violence. In honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, WHO presents our third annual The Second Chance Conference, themed The Power of Words. Women Healing and Empowering Women is a reentry program addressing the fastest growing population in prisons presently. Women, as well as domestic violence and homelessness, since these issues are interconnected.
WHO is honored to host a screening of the film Pray the Devil Back to Hell, as well as other films tackling the tough issues WHO advocates on behalf of. There will be breakout discussions addressing how the power of words connect to these issues. October 3rd from 11 to 6, with cocktail fundraisers from 7 to 10 following. Where? Houston Institute for Culture, 708-B Telephone Road. For more information, call 713-208-4276 or email WHO, that's B-O-O,